this seventh parak of Maseches Brachos deals with the din of Benchim Mizuman. It says, it's not good. The Mishnah starts off Shlosha Shafu Kachas Chayot Mizamein. It's not good. Lower. Try without the mic. Starts off with the din of Shlosha Shafu Kachas Chayav Mizamen, that if three people laid bread together, they're obligated to bench Mizuman. What kind of a din is this? Is this a din deraita, a din derabbanan? So the Gemara right away starts, no hanimili, how do you know that there's such a din? And the Gemara quotes two drashas from the Pesukim. Amar Abasi, Yom Akroa, the first man Dhamma learned it up on the Pasuk, Gadol Hashem Iti, on the Rama Moshmo Yachto. That Pasuk is not necessarily speaking to him, not necessarily speaking about benching. The Rashi says all you derive from the pasuk is that one person speaks to two other people. Gadlu, Loshen Rabin, Iti is the one person speaking. And the Rama Mashmayachtov, all three of us will give a shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu together. Rabba Bo's pasuk is also the same. Rabba Bo Mahacha pasuk in Devarim. Again, the pasuk is not necessarily speaking about Birchas HaMazon. Kishem Hashem Ekro, Hogu, Godel, Olokeinu, I'm speaking. And I speak to a minimum of another two people, and you're dropping Mishnah, so you have three people together. The Rashi says that all you learn out from the Pasuk is, the Shlosha Ruyim Lebirchas Tzirum. What you see is that three people together, when they recite a Sherech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's something fancier than if a Yochid benches, it says the Sherech, a Yochid or two people. Three people together is something special. Does this necessarily mean that the Din of Benchim Mizuman is a Din Deraisa? Not necessarily so. It's a Din Deraisa. It's not so mukhrach from these tukim. It sounds like it's only an asmachta. That's the question. So on the next daf, on Mem Vav Amid Aleph, the Gemara has right in the middle of the Yom, there are two dots, and the Gemara begins at Heichan Birchas Hazimu. You have the next? You don't have it. Okay. We'll listen about that. Okay. On Mem Vav Amid Aleph, the Gemara has a machloike samaroin. How far does Birchas Hazimut go? When you bench Mizuman, so you say, Boshachan Mishlov Tivuchayim. And then you say, Hazan Asodom Kulub Tivuchayim. You say, Hazan, till the end of the Birchas Hazimut. So the Gemara has a Machlekes Amoraim. How far into the benching is considered Birchas Hazimut? Rab Nachman Amar Ad Mevarach. Nachman says, just Boshachan Mishlov Tivuchayim. That's the end of Birchas Hazimut. And the rest, Hazan Asodom, is the regular Birchas Hazimut that everybody says, even when he eats the Yechidit. And Rab Shei says, who we pass like La Locha, says, Ad Hazan, until the end of Hazan Es Hakol. The whole bracha, Hazan Es Hakol, from the beginning to the end, is called Birchas Hazimut. Taisus points out, whenever there's a machlokes of Nachman and Rav Sheshes, whenever it's Yisur V'Heter, we pass like Rav Sheshes, and here it's Yisur V'Heter. Whenever it's Dinim Amonis, we pass like Rav Nachman. So here we pass like Rav Sheshes. What is this machlokes? What are they fighting about? Whether the bench in Mizuman ends after you finish Baruch Shechan Mishlov Tivuchai, you know, or it ends at the end of Hazan Es Hakol. So what's the theoretical, the ethereal machlokes? So Rashi says no. Rashi explains in the Hemshech HaGemara, the Gemara goes baita baita. Rashi explains that the machlokes is as follows: when a person benches the Yechidus, if I have a malav malka and I eat a sandwich and I bench and I don't have another two people with me, so do I start benching from Neid Elachah? Because we're not benching Mizuman. Mizuman goes Baruch Shechan Mishlov Tivuchayim until the end of Hazan Es Hakol. That's only when you have Mizuman, a three, a ten. But when you have one person or two people, then there's no Mizuman, then you just begin from Neid Elachah. And if you bench Mizuman, then you add on this additional bracha. So how big a chunk of the benching is considered the Zimun? So that's the machlokes. So Rav Nachman says what we always thought, that Baruch Shechan Mishlov Tivuchayim, that's what you add on. That's the only thing you add on to the bench when you bench Mizuman, but the bench in Yikli Yechidus begins from Baruch Atah Hashem, Hazan Asodom, Kulutu, you know, from the beginning of the bench. And Rav Sheshi, whom we should pass, like, says, no, up until Hazanas HaKol is that whole big chunk is Birchas HaZimun, and the benching Birchidus begins from Noida L'cha. So Tais says right away, yes, on Rashi, how can that be? That's the Machlokes, and we should talk to like Rashashis on that. Tais says, Maisi M'chol Yom, that it's not true. That when a person benches Birchidus, he starts from Hazanas HaKol, he doesn't start from Noida L'cha. So that's one taina that they have against Rashi. But how can it be that that's the Machlokes? It comes out then that the Minig Olam is against the Psak. Then Tais has another taina. How can it be that when the Yochid benches Birchas HaMazon, he starts from Noida L'cha, but the Gemara later derives, the Gemara on Daf Mem Ches derives from Sukkim all of these brachas, Hazan, Birchas Noida L'cha, Birchas Rachem. Atoy Bameitiv, the Gemara has this dispute, and we assume that it's only the Rabbanu. After Bernard Rachem Shalim Amen, so they say the Amen, the Gemara says, why do you say Amen on the bottom of Mem Hem? The basic Gemara says, because that's the end of the Birchas HaMazon, they write it, and Atoy Bameitiv is only the Rabbanu. But the other three brachas are derived from Sukkim and the Chumash. That you have to say Hazanas HaKol, you have to say Noida L'cha, and you have to say Rachim. So how can Rashi say that when a Yochid benches Birchas HaMazon, not doing it, that he leaves out the first bracha of Hazan, and he starts from Noida L'cha, but the Chadin D'Araisa, that you have to start from Hazanas HaOlam? How can the Yochid leave out that Din D'Araisa? So apparently Rashi is not so in his foil from this kash. Apparently it's Mucha from Rashi, but he holds that Birchas HaZimun is D'Araisa. The psukim are their eyes, and benching the zumin is their eyes, and the din their eyes is that when a yochid benches, he only starts from Noida L'cha, and when a chabura pre bench, they start from Hazanas HaOlam. That's apparently clearly what Rashi holds, that is the institution of benching the zumin is a din their eyes, and their eyes, the brachas change. When you have three people, then and only then do you say all of the brachas from the beginning to the end. When you have a person benching privately, you only start from Noida L'cha, so it's no kash. Rashi says it doesn't really, the miyukah refer to mezumin, Birchas HaMazon, it just indicates that when three people recite Sherech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's more significant than if one person does. How many people do you have to recite a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu together, that it should change the nature of the bracha, that it should be considered a mochashra bracha? Rashi says that's what we derive from the psukim, that if you have three people, it's a mochashra bracha. Shloshi ruuyim lebirchas tiru. And I have an amen.
So then,
so three
then
people with
Dabish
Ben Ezra. Perhaps. This is apparently what Rashi holds, that Birchas HaZimun is a din d'oraisa, and the number of brachas changes. Now, so Soloveitchik pointed out that there is a Gemara in Chulin, in Perek Kol Abos, in Perek Kisui Hadam, where the Gemara has a din that if I steal a mitzvah from somebody else, there's a penalty that I have to pay after as a Zehuvim. What's an example of stealing a mitzvah? So the Gemara says that somebody shechts a chaya or loaf, because there's a din in the Torah that whoever does the shechita is obligated to do the kisui hadam. By the end of it, there's no din of kisui hadam, and a chaya diyot is a mitzvah of kisui hadam. So we derive from the pasuk that the shochat v'chisa, misha shochat hu yechasu, the one who did the shechita, did the shechita, he has this course to do the kisui hadam. If he chooses to mechabit somebody else with the kisui hadam, he has to face, he has the right to give it away, is it improper that he should be mechabit somebody else? Or just means that he has the skus, if he wants to insist, he has the right to do that mitzvah, but if he chooses to, he can be mechabit other people. That's what it's usually a skus. But it may be mechabit. But the din is that it's his skus to do that mitzvah. What if somebody chefs a chicken, a turkey, whatever, and I run over and I do the kisei adam, and he didn't authorize me, he didn't give me permission. Once I did kisei adam, it's our problem. There's no sense in him doing over, the mitzvah has already been fulfilled. So the Gemara says, in such an instance, I have to pay him a penalty about Torah Zehuvim for gambling the mitzvah from him. Is the penalty because I stole a mitzvah, or is the penalty because I stole a bracha? Am I not kinina? Is anything going to be 10 zehuvim? So the Gemara says, not kinina. What if you have one mitzvah that has a few brachas, like benching? The mechabit, somebody, we all decided that at the annual dinner, the rabbi is going to bench, or the kohen, the president of the shul is going to bench. And then some character runs up and he starts benching mezumah, and the people didn't realize that he wasn't supposed to. They let him bench and they all answered along and they finished the whole benching. And then it turned out that he gambled the Zchus HaMitzvah from the person who was supposed to have the Birchas HaMazon. Morris says that if you pay 10 Zehuvim for gambling the mitzvah, one mitzvah benching, you have to pay 10 Zehuvim only. But if you pay per bracha, then the benching you have 4 bracha, so you would have to pay 40 Zehuvim. So the Shach in the end of Choshe Mishpah, when the Shulchan Aruch quotes this penalty after the dinim of Adam HaMazik and after the dinim of Choyvel, so the Shulchan Aruch quotes this penalty with the Rabbanon, that you pay Asar Zehum for gambling a mitzvah. So the Shach asks Akasha in the Gemara, why only 40 The Gemara says four brachas is four Yehudim. Why only four brachas? You say Hazan, then you say Nodimacha, then you say Racham, then you say Tezan, then you say Ben Shalayayin, then you say Gorpi Agrocha. Isn't there a fifth bracha? So the Shach says, maybe with the Tesis on that daf, on that Tezainim and Aleph and Kulman and Teres Kisei Adam, the Tesis has a Shaila. What if they called up a Koyin in Shul? They called up the Koyin for the first Aliyah. And then a non-Koyin runs up and he grabs the Aliyah and he says the bracha, and they didn't realize what was wrong, so they went right there. So if Al-Kurri starts to lay, he says the bracha after Shem. So the Shaila is whether the one who stole the Aliyah, the Gabbai called out Yamad playing HaKoyin, and the other fellow robbed the Aliyah from him. Does he have to pay the Asara Zuhuman? I said, okay, not bad. Of course he has to pay Asara Zuhuman. The Tesis says no penalty over there because the Din, the Kidashto, the Chaldova Shibikdusha, Likra Baterabishan, that the Kohen gets the first Aliyah, is only a Din Midirabonah. And since he only stole by Kisi Adam, whoever did the Shkita has the right to do the Kisi Adam, that's the Pasuk in the Chumash, that's his Chus Minatera. So he stole a mitzvah which Minatera belongs to him. Over here, he stole a mitzvah which only the Rabbanan belongs to him. Minatera, the mitzvah doesn't necessarily belong to him. No, because Atera that he say, Bishas Kriyas Atera, the only the Rabbanan, because Atera is their right, so the Gemara learns it out in Brachas with Sukkim. That means in the morning when you wake up, before you say the Psukki HaKorbanas, or before a person learns at home, before he wants to do any Dimitri, he has to recite Birchas HaTera. But the fact that he repeats the Birchas HaTera in Shul when he gets to Aliyah, that's only the Rabbanah. The place says the Brachas that he says are only the Rabbanah, before and after, and the whole Aliyah, and the whole Birchas HaTera, and the whole fact that he gets to cross Aliyah, everything from the beginning to the end is only the Rabbanah. So if you steal a Nitzim of the Rabbanon, there's no penalty. That's what Taisus in the Chadish. There's no penalty. Taisus has two Svaris. One Svaris is the whole Nitzim of the Rabbanon, so that's why there's no penalty. And then Taisus says another Svar, that God will have an Amen, Yoisim in Hamivar. The last piece of Gemara in Nazir has a Machleki Satanoim. If I say a Brach and everybody says Amen, who gets more reward? The one who said the Bracha gets more Schach, that's up to something he decided the Bracha. But he says, no, God will have an Amen, Yoisim in Hamivar. People who enter only get more reward than the one who recited the Brach. The Taisus claims that the Gemara in the end of Nazir, the last piece of Nazir, the Gemara doesn't come to any conclusion. The Taisus claims that the Maskana is that God will have Amen, Yoisim and Amivarach, that the one who enters Amen gets more reward. The other Rabbi, so the one who got the first Aliyah, the Kohen who got the first Aliyah, it's not worth anything. Other Rabbi, if someone else would have gotten the Aliyah, he would have gotten the Schach for entering Amen, which is worth more. So I did him a favor. When I stole the Aliyah from him, I did him a favor. I gave him the Schach of entering Amen. And I lost. Forget. The Taisus says, I did him such a big favor, that's why I don't have to pay a thousand. These are the two Svaris of Taisus. So the Shach suggests that maybe the reason why you don't have to pay for Gorpi Agofen, and it should really turn out to be five brachas and 50 zuhuvim, maybe it's because Gorpi Agofen is only Midi Rabbanan. Then the Shach gets stuck to use the Hatevah Meikud is also only Midi Rabbanan. Hatevah Meikud is only Machlekes, and we pass on Hatevah Meikud is only Midi Rabbanan. That's just difficult. So Rav Soloveitchik suggested, yeah, maybe along those lines, maybe that's the pshat, that Birchas HaZimun is their right. According to this Rashi, Birchas HaBenching Mezumen is their right. As Rashi says, that when you bench Mezumen, you change the whole brachas, that when you bench B'yichidus, you start to know the lachah, when you bench B'chabura, then you recite even the first bracha. I take this to kasha, all the brachas are benching are their right. So you see, yeah, they're right, so when you bench Mezumen, when you don't bench Mezumen, it's not their right. So you see that didn't their right to change over here. So maybe that's the pshat in the Gemara. Because the Gemara says on the bottom of Memheim and Beis, what happens if you walk into the room? You walk into the room and the people are just finishing benching Mezumen. They say, Baruch Shachanu Mishlag Tzuvachayinu, and I walk in. So the Gemara says, if I hear them saying Tzuvachayinu, I say Amen. If I walk in and I didn't eat anything, and I hear that the Mizamen is saying Baruch Shachanu Mishlag Tzuvachayinu, then I say Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemay Tzuvachayinu, and I don't worry. But if I didn't hear the Mizamim say Baruch Shechal Mishalal, I just heard the people name say Baruch Shechal Mishalal Tzuvachayinu, so I say Amen. What am I saying Amen? So obviously I'm saying Amen to a bracha, that's considered a bracha. So the Rav Soloveitchik suggested maybe those are the four brachas that the Gemara works on. The Zimun is one bracha, the Harai that you say Amen. Hazanah Satol is another bracha, Nodulukha is the third bracha, Rachim is the fourth bracha, and you don't count Atayba Neitiv, and you don't count Baruch Priyagotam, because it's only with the Rabbanim. You only count the four brachas that are their right, the Hainu include the three first three brachas of benching, plus the additional bracha of Baruch Shechal Mishlag Tzuvachayinu. That's also a bracha deraisa. What is this din deraisa? What is this special din that you add on another bracha? That's the whole verse. That you add on another bracha, Baruch Shechal Mishlag Tzuvachayinu. That's one part of the story, according to Rashi, that yet on another bracha, but in the Gemara it would appear that there's a little more to it. The Gemara says on Mem Hei on the Bay, the Gemara has a, let's first start over here, Mem Hei Yomid Aleph. On the last narrow line, on Mem Hei Yomid Aleph, the Gemara has a Machloek with Amorim. How do you read the Mishnah? Mishnah says, Shlosh Shloch Kachas, Chayovim Lizamim. Three people ate bread together, so they're obligated to bench Mizumim. What if two people ate bread together? So all you see from the Mishnah is that they're not obligated to bench Mizumim. Is it optional? Do they have a Rishus to bench Mizumim? Or do you say no? That the Mishnah means to say that if you have three people, then there's a whole din of mezuzah, and if you have less than three, there's no din at all. So that's a machlokes in the Gemara. So that's on the last narrow line on Mem Hei Yomid Aleph. Itma, Shnayim Sha'ach Lukachas, what if two people ate together? One person ate their Tashayach to say bench and mezuzah. You have to have Amir Vamir. You have to tell the others, let's bench. But if you have two, so one can be Mizamin and the other will enter. So that's a machlokes. Achiyah, there certainly isn't, because the Mishnah only says if there are three. Machlokes is the rishus. Pligi bo, machlokes rav rav yechon. Chadama im rotzel lezamen, lezamen vechadama im rotzel lezamen, ein lezamen. Machlokes is the rishus. I think Mark goes through that. Right? You can't tell from the Mishnah. The Mishnah just says shlosh shalfa kach chayovim lezamen, and if it's two, it just implies that there's no obligation. But one could insist that there is a rishus, and one could say that there's no rishus. Halacha l'mayim to have a taskin. The Gemara says on the day. Omar Abaye Nachtinon. The line begins with the word Omar Abaye. It's about 20 lines before the bottom of the Yomar. A little bit after halfway down the Yomar. Omar Abaye Nachtinon. We have a Maser. We have a tradition. Shnan Shof Kachas Mitzvah Lecholet. He's asking that there's no Rishus. It's not optional to mention Zuman. Abaye says he has a tradition. Then he mentions not only his tradition, it says so in the Brisa. Tanya Am Health, it says in the Brisa. Shnan Shof Kachas Mitzvah Lecholet. Perhaps each one has to bench by himself. When does this apply to each one benches by himself? If each one is able to read, the Sefer means the Talmud Chacham knows how to read Israel. Ava, what happens if a Sefer is a boor? What if one is learned and one is a boor? He doesn't know how to read, he doesn't know how to bench. But then the din is obviously Sefer Mavarach, a boor, Yoyte. The one who knows how to bench should bench, and the other one should be Yoyte by Shemir Tayyim. So you see from the Gemara, that's the last already pointed out. I once gave a whole Yorshat Shim on this Gemara. Because you see from this Gemara that the Iker Din of Ben Shemizumin is what it says in the Mishnah Berurah, in the name of the Achronim. The Iker Din of Ben Shemizumin is not the way we do. We have the Mezamin says, Baruch Shechan Mishloach Simcha, you know, and then everybody benches on their own. That's really not the way it's supposed to be. The Iker Din of Ben Shemizumin is that one person recites the whole Bichas HaMazim on behalf of the group. And there's only one Bichas HaMazim recited. And the other people say Amen. So the Ram in the end of Rosh Hashanah, the last paragraph of Rosh Hashanah, quotes Yerushalmi that there is an institution of Shemei Kohenah. If I say Kiddush and you say Amen, so you yoyte. If I say Havdalah and you say Amen, you yoyte. All the brachas, I say a bracha, you say Amen, you yoyte. Even Shemeiah is Tioine. The Gemara says it's Sukkah, that's not a test. Even if you just pay attention to the bracha, you don't say Amen. Shemeiah Tioine. Kol Hoino Amen, Kilo Haichi Bracha Mitzvah Damen. Even if you didn't answer Amen, Shemeiah is Tioine. Consider it as if you said Amen. And you also yoyte. But the Ram quotes the Yerushalmi in the end of Rosh Hashanah that there are several exceptions to the rule where we don't allow Shemeiah Kohenah. One of these exceptions to the rule is Bichas HaMazon, that if you ate, did you eat on your own or did I do all the eating? That if you ate on your own, then you should bench on your own. The pasuk says, Yachalta v'savata, uveirakta. If you did the eating, so you should do the benching. That's how the Ram quotes in the Yerushalmi. So that's apparently what this din is all about. Shnayim Shachul Ka'achas, Mitzvah Lecholim. If two people ate together, so we pass them that it's not a rishus. It's not optional to bench mizumah. What do you mean it's not optional? What avera are they going to violate if one is going to bench mizumah? What are you going to say? Brachal Rafael, he's going to say, Brosh Ham Shlav Tzuchayim. He's going to say, Rabbi Tzayim Ram Bench. He can't say Rabbi Tzayim, there's only one person. He's going to say, Hav Lon and Avar. Let's bench. The other one is going to say, He Shem Hashem Avar Meach Badar. So far they didn't do any avera. He says, He Shem Hashem Avar Meach Badar. Then he says, Rishus, Levarach Shacham Mishlov. So what's that there? And then I said, Baruch Shacham Mishlov Tzulchim. He says, right, Baruch Shacham Mishlov Tzulchim. What did he say? Baruch Levar. Tell him. He didn't say Hashem and Malchus. He didn't do anything wrong. He didn't do anything wrong. Let's say a person has a suffix on a bracha. So you're not permitted to say a suffix. If you say a bracha Levar Tzulchim, it's an avera. So that's why we say suffix bracha Levar. Whenever you have a suffix, say don't say a bracha. So a lot of times in the Shulchan Aruch, they'll say, whenever you have a suffix bracha, to say the bracha without Hashem and Malchus. Like when you have a bar mitzvah, so the father a lot of times will say, Bosha Patronomy Yonchev Shalzeh, he'll say without Shem HaMalchus. But the Vilna going holds that you should say with Shem HaMalchus, and others hold that you don't say the bracha at all, So it's a Sufik bracha, so we compromise and we say the bracha without Shem and Malchus. There are other brachas like that. Now you have a Sufik bracha, so you say without Shem and Malchus. Obviously, that's the solution for a problem. Whenever one says the bracha without Shem and Malchus, it's not a violation of bracha without Tomah. So what's the whole tragedy over here? What's the gefela? Machlekes with the Shnayim, Shiratza Nizamim, Nizamim Manat. If you're going to say Zimun, Baruch Elokeinu, this is what to discuss. Maybe it's Achshar, Baruch Elokeinu. But he's not going to say Elokeinu. He's not going to say Zimun by two in excess of what the Nisrach is by three. When you have three people bent in the Zimun, you don't say Elokeinu. You say Baruch Han, Shlok, Tuvuch Hayinu. So that's not a Nisr, Baruch Elokeinu. So what's the problem? What's the Machlekes? Whether it's a Rishus or it's not a Rishus, and the Imar comes to the conclusion that it's prohibited. That they're not allowed to bench in the Zimun. Why is it prohibited? What's down there anyway? Obviously, you see, the Aveira is not, that's not the Aveira that you're going to say a bracha l'atol. The Aveira is that you're going to bench Mizumin the way you're supposed to bench Mizumin, that one person says the Birchas HaMazon and the others just say Amen and Deyoytzeh. And that normally you're not allowed to do in benching, because the Yushalmi says, and it's not just the Yushalmi, you see, the Bir Agur, and Hilchos Birchas HaMazon points out that this Babli over here, this Gemara, Menhem Abay, says the same as the Yushalmi, that the din is that you're not supposed to allow Shemea Koineh by Birchas HaMazon. If you ate, so you're supposed to bench. The only time we allow Shamei HaKoinah by Birchas HaMazon is if you have bench in the Zuman. So that's the machlokes that the Gemara has. If you have two people, is it optional to bench in the Zuman or not? And if you hold that it's not optional, what's the Avera that they're violating? The Avera is that I'm going to say the whole Birchas HaMazon from the beginning to the end. If you're not going to say one word, you're just going to say Amen. You're not going to say the Brachas. Just an answer Amen. And you'll be yoytzei birchas hamazon based on shemei koineh, and that you're not allowed to do. The only time we allow one person to bench and the other to be yoytzei is when they bench mizumin. And what kind of a din is that happening? Why do we allow it on the bench mizumin? So does this itself indicate that it's really a din deraisa that you allow it when you bench mizumin? If it's a real din deraisa, the chalta the savato or the rakta the nisha ochal the yivarech, that if you're eating, you should bench and by three people. More than three, then you allow Birchas HaMazon, you allow Shnei Koineh. So that itself is already an indication that Zimun is a real Din Deraisa, like Rashi holds, like the Rav said on the Gemara and Kuz. So this is not necessarily Mukhaf, because the Gemara says the Feirish, when you say that Shnaim Shachlu Ka'achat Mitzvah Lecholem, that each one has to bench separately, that's only Kishishnei and Sofim, if they both know how to bench. But if they don't both know how to bench, only one knows, so then the Raisa says, Seifer Mevarech Ubur Yaitzeh. The Seifer should bench and the Boor should answer Ram and he'll be Yaitzeh. So how can it be Yaitzeh? If we're assuming, if we're postulating a cloud that Yachalta Mishavata Verachta Mishachal Hu Yivarech, that if you ate, you have to bench, so how can he be Yaitzeh with Shalea Koinet? There's no din of bench in the Zunim by two. So the Dira Grah and Hilchus Birchas HaMazon points out that obviously this whole din is only a din with the Rabbanah. If it were really a din deraisa that we don't allow Shalea Koinet, and it wouldn't apply b'shas afkak either, just because he's a boor and I'm a sefer. So b'shas afkak we can violate the din deraisa. If it's learned that from a real pasuk that Rosh Yisnur deraisa, the chalta b'tavot uvei rachta.
Better off if he doesn't say anything. Better he should listen and say amen.
Then make him say word for word after me. I should say slowly, baruch, achto. That he can do. So the Gemara doesn't require that much. Why? So the Bira Gura says, obviously the whole din is only Midi Rabbanon. It's not really a Drashi Gemura. It's only an Asmachta. And therefore, when it's a Shasat Chak, we're not so Machta that he should say word for word after him. Shasat Chak, we allow him the Yoytze with Shemekah. In other words, to revert back to what the din deraisa is. Din deraisa is that he do say Shemekah and even by Benjamin. But Midi Rabbanon, we don't allow Shemekah. Apparently. So what's learned there from Kishema Shemekri is the following. So why is the taka different if you have three people? If you have three or more, why is it different on the level of the Rabbanon? That you don't allow Shemei Koineh by benching whoever eight has to bench. But if you have Zimun of three or more, if you have only two, Vaita, we don't allow Shemei Koineh. Each one has to bench on his own. And that's why mitzvah they call it. It's not a Rishus. It's not optional. You're not allowed to bench Mizumin. Not allowed to bench Mizumin means that one is going to rely on the benching of the other one. And they're both sofer. Each one can recite the benching on his own. So he's not allowed to rely on my benching. So why is it if you have three or more, why then do you allow all the others to rely on the benching of the Mizamin? So the answer is, no, it's not that they're relying on the benching of the Mizamin. It's not that they're being Yotze with Shemei Koineh. It's a different verb. It's a different halacha over here. And this Rashi thinks so that this part is within their right. Namely, that when a person benches the yichidus, he says the benching himself, when you have three or more people who age, shlosh shachol kachas, chayov mezame means that the chabura together is obligated to offer one birchas hamazon b'chabura. So when the others say omein and the yotzei, the benching from the mezame, it's not that the yotzei v'shmei kainis, it's not like by kiddush havdolah that I said the kiddush and you yotzei v'shmei kainis and my kiddush relates to you. So I said kiddush and you said kiddush and he said kiddush and everybody who listens. It's considered Shmekan as if each one said Kiddush also. No, that's not the vote over here. When you have three or more people and one of them is benching Mizumin, it's not based on Shmekan. The halacha is that the whole group together has to offer one Birchas HaMazon B'Chabura. We don't have that practice today. When we bench Mizumin, everybody says the benching. So that's the recommendation of the Mechaber. In Hilchas Birchas HaMazon, the Mechaber says that we see that people don't pay attention when other people say bracha. Let me say kiddush when they say havdolah. It's not so long. So kiddush not so long. So they pay attention. When you say havdolah, it's not so long. But when you say birchas hamazon, it's so long. It's so long arichas. So if we're going to rely on the fact, the real din is zimun, that the one who's mezamen should recite the whole birchas hamazon, the other should answer amen, and they'll be yotzei. But that's only valid. That's only acceptable if they're going to pay attention and answer amen at the end. But if they're going to, their mind will wander. Well, they'll start snoozing in the middle, then they won't be yaitzeh. So the Mechaber recommends that everybody should stay along softly with the mezameh, the benching, because we're afraid that the people don't pay attention. But he says the ikar hazin should still be observed. That's how the Mishnah quotes from all the achrayim. That's how the Rav used to tain also. Many rabbanim used to point that out. Not only the Mishnah Berurah. All the rabbanim used to point out that the ikar hazin of benching should still be observed. The hainu, that the one who's mezamen should recite the whole benching out loud from Hazanas Oilam till the end, till the Oilam Ari Chasreinu. So I'm a reason Machna for Harachman also, that you say Harachman's out loud. So that's already a Chumah. That's already a Chumah. But at least till the end of the Oilam Ari Chasreinu, that's the end of the benching.
The point of the Mechaber is when everyone should make on it,
there wouldn't be anything wrong with two people benching Mizum, but you wouldn't gain anything either. Nothing is gained. It means that there's no Aveira. The Gemara has a machlokes. Is it permissible for two people to bench Mizum or not? So we task him that it's not permissible. So I just raised the question. What do you mean it's not permissible? What's the Aveira? So the answer is the Aveira is that they're not being Yotze benching. But the Gemara said there wouldn't be any Aveira. Would they gain anything? Right or not? They wouldn't gain anything, but there wouldn't be any Aveira. There's none. Yeah? There's no Aveira to say Hashem. Right, and Achin Ami, the whole benching is Birchas Hazim. So again, what is the Machloekes Amoraim Amem Vavam Adal? So Rashi had his unique shot. The Tosafot says obviously we don't follow. Rashi learned that the Machloekes between Apsheshes and Ramnach and Amem Vavam Adal is how big a chunk of the benching is reserved for the situation of benching Mezumen, and how much of the benching does the Yachid say when he benches on his own. So Rashi holds the Halacha according to Apsheshes. That should be the Maskana. When a person benches the Yechidus, we should start from Noid Elochot. The Taisa says that's obviously not the Pshat. So what is the Pshat? The Taisa offers a different Pshat. The Taisa says that this Gemara, and Vavim and Aleph, is a Hemshach from what came in the previous line. The Gemara said before, that let's say there are three people eating together, and two of them finished eating, they want to bench, they're in a rush. They have no time to sit and shmooze, and the third one is still in the middle of eating. So the Gemara says the third one has to be mastic for the two. If you have three people eating and one finished eating, he's in a rush. So the other two can say, don't rush us. We want to finish eating slow. They're not in a rush. So he has to wait. So it'll be nice enough to be master chen is very nice, but they're not obligated to if they don't want to. But if you have two people finished already and they're holding by benching and the third one is in the middle of eating, then he's obligated to be mopsik in the middle of his meal. Echad has to be mopsik lishnayim and he has to answer mezumen to them. So the Gemara has the machleik that heichan bichas hazimun. How long does he have to pause in the middle of his meal before he goes back to continue to eat? He has to pause. That's the Birchas HaZimun. So Rav Nachman says that's all. That's the whole Birchas HaZimun, and he doesn't have to pay attention to the rest. Because he's not holding by benching, he's going to eat more bread, so he's not going to be yotzei with the zimun. He's just being mitzuref to them. And the other two, one will say the whole benching out loud, and the other one will be answering. And we talked like Rav Sheshes that it's not correct that up until the end of Hazanah Tatol constitutes Birchas HaZimun. It doesn't mean that when you bench Bichidus you start from Leidu Lovah. No, so he says that was never a Havamin in the world. You certainly begin Bichidus also from Hazanah Tatol from the beginning. But the Shaila is when a person is mopsik in the middle of the meal for another two, how long does he have to wait and not eat, and it means not eat and pay attention to the benching? How long does he have to pay attention to the Mezamin who's a student supposedly saying the bracha out loud? How much of the benching does he have to listen to? So we pass until the end of Hazanah Sakol. And then the Gemara continues, Amen Vavam et Aleph, and the Gemara quotes a Braisa with a Braisa seems to have a machlokes. How many units are there to the benches? Are there two or three or four? What does that mean exactly? How many units? So Rashi and Tosis points out. Rashi and Tosis to the Shita of Do. How many brachas do you say in the benching? So they say Yochid is benching. So the Gemara says we're talking on a level of the right. We're not talking on a level of the bottom. So right away Levad Hatzeiv Amei. So Rashi says well Avada. If you hold the Yochid begins from Noida Lecha, so there are only two units to the benching. The Yochid just as Noida Lecha and Rachim. That's all. And if you're benching the Zulman, then you say the first bracha and Noida Lecha and Rachim. Then it's three. And the other mandama who says that the other mandama says that even the yichidus he starts from hazana sa'olam. So the yichidus you say three brachas, the first bracha and noyda lecha and rachem. And when you bench b'mizum, you'll have four brachas on a level of derayta again, because believe me, not teivan meitav teivan meitav is only the rabbanon. So the Gemara has the different versions. How many units are to the benching? Two, three, or four? So the Gemara says we understand the whole issue. Two means when you bench the yichidus. According to the opinion that you start, this Rashi claims that it's such an opinion, you start from Noida Lachor, and we're only listing off Rachas Deraisa, suggesting Noida Lachor and Rachim. You say three, if you're benching the Mizuman, so there are three Mideraisa. The first up until Azana Sako, Noida Lachor and Rachim, three Minater. And the other Braisa that says there are either three units or four units, that's simple also. On a level of Deraisa, when a Yochid benches the Yechidus, he says Hazana Sa'ilam, Azana Sako, Noida Lachor and Rachim, that's three units. And when you bench in Zoom, you have four units there right, namely Bosch Khan Shlok Tilhain is a unit there right, and you're still leaving out all of the Rabbans. So foolish Rashi holds. But bench in the Zoom is a din there right, it's a bracha there right. Taisa says again, there is no such thing. What did Rashi make up such a wild idea? When a person benches the Yechidus, he zigs out, Azana Sakot, that's unheard of, might in the Cholyom, we don't do like that. The Taisa says, no, it's a different shot, obviously it's a shot, like the Rabbeinu Alphus learns. And this learns on this Gemara, that's the Taisa, I mean, Gov and Manala, Diba Masil. Well, the man the yoma. The Taisa says like this: when you bench mezumen, you're supposed to have one person recite the whole brachas on mezumen on behalf of the whole group. So what happens if one person doesn't know the whole benching? By us, it sounds a little humorous. What? Either he's religious, or he doesn't. He's not religious. If he's religious, he knows. But it's not so far-fetched. I remember once I was watching a person who was blind. He was benching mezumen, and he was a big talmud. He was a big rav. So the family always is mechaber him, he should bench mezumen. But it says in the Shulchan Aruch that the proper thing is that you should bench looking into the siddur. Even if you know everything about Peh, Lan, Bach, and Tachumah, that you should always bench and always daven looking into the siddur. So this person didn't want to say the benching out loud. He insisted you have to say the whole benching out loud. That's the whole institution of benching mezumen. But he was a tagi not, so he couldn't say the benching out loud. So he had another member of the family say everything from the siddur. So how much does he have to say? How much is considered one unit that he has to say? So the Gemara has the machlokes, how many units are there to the Brichas HaMazon? So we consider from Baruch Shechan HaMashlov Tzibachay Yenotil HaZana Sakol counts as one unit, and Noida Lecha is one unit, and Rachim is a third unit. But he'd say no, Baruch Shechan HaMashlov Tzibachay Yenotil is one unit, HaZana Sa'olam is another unit, Noida Lecha is a third unit, and Rachim is a fourth unit. That's the machlokes. And we task him like Rav Sheish says that Ad HaZan, till the end of HaZana Sakol, is considered one unit, and you're not supposed to have one person say Baruch Shalom Shlok Tzibachay Yino and then switch to have someone else say from the Siddur Hazan Asarim Tula Betula. If you want to switch in the middle, you have to switch starting from Noida Lecha. You can't switch in the middle because Allah says you have to have one person say the entire Brach. That's how Tosis quotes in the name of the Rabbeinu Chanan. Just Derech Azav, these are very... The way we talk in Allah, it should only be three. Okay? So the Baita Shalai Kalachi means. The Gemara Chulin and Shalai Kalachi says it should only be three. At this time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know if the problem because we do say Omei. The Gemara says if you walk in and they just finished saying Baruch Shalom Shalom Shalom, you do say Omei. It's a question, I don't know. Doesn't have a shem of malchus. Okay, the next bracha is going to have shem of malchus.
No, but you have separate bracha. When you have many brachas, when you have
two,
you got shem of malchus.
I don't know. Is that time? I don't know.
I said before.
early. Why did it miss it early? It should be a violation not being a college.
What does it mean? The Rabbanim. Then I say you would allow Shemir Kohen even by Birkas HaMazon, like the dear Rav Roy said. But the Rabbanim, they said each person has to bench on his own. Mitzvah L'Cholos means the Rabbanim. The Rabbanim, each one has to bench on his own. Nothing is gained by benching the Zumim. And they'll even lose that they won't fulfill the din the Rabbanim, that we don't rely on Shemir Kohen by Birkas HaMazon. And this places the Achreinim are bothered with the Kasha, the Birkas Roish, and many others are bothered with the Kasha. Why, let's say halacha l'maisa, what was the maskana of tesis? That this person is benching mizum and has to say from bosh pan shlov to b'chayin until the end of hazanah kakol. And he shouldn't switch over in the middle to have someone else. Let's say he has this mizum chassidus that he wants to have someone bench mitzvah sefer, but he shouldn't switch in the middle to have someone else start from hazanah soilam. He should wait till he finishes hazanah kakol or be mechabit someone else who can see to bench mizum and to start from the beginning. He shouldn't switch in the middle of a bracha. Why not? Because you don't say, what? Because you can't be mighty others with a half a bracha. Why can't you be mighty others with a half a bracha? So the Akhrenim are bothered with a kasha, but there seems to be gemaras which indicate otherwise. One of the several gemaras that they quote, he's got a few gemaras. One of the gemaras that they quote is the Mishnah in the Gemara Daf Chof on the day. Mishnah Daf Chof on the last line of Amman Aleph says that Noshim Gavadim Ktan Maktuim Ekriyashma Amin Atzilim. Women are part of some tefillin and some kriyashma because that's the first of Shazman Grama. But chayodim the tefillin, the women are obligated to daven, they're obligated to mezuzah, and they're obligated to fulfill birchas hamazon. The Gemara has a shaylan that talks on the day regarding this din that the women are chayav to bench, whether this is minatayra under the rabbanim. We know that birchas hamazon is a din there right there, but maybe the obligation that women have should only be under the rabbanim. So that's about 15-20 lines back on the top of that talk on the Aleph. If it says Vorim Perikei. Now, two lines here says one Perikei. So it says, Omale Rabino Le Rav, Rabino Le Shiloh Rav. Not in the Birchas HaMazon, the Araisa, or the Rabban. As a Shiloh, whether women are obligated to bench in our Torah, or only to bench in the Rabban. The Gemara says, Amai Nafsi Mine, what's the difference? La Puki Rabin Yudei Choy Gosin. There is a clause, whoever is not Mechuyev, the Zover, can't be Mokia Sachem, and then we'll say, the Baal Tekeya has to be Gaskir, a man who is bar mitzvah. If you have a woman who's not mechuyev in tkiyah shofar, you have a cotton, cherishat and cotton who's not mechuyev in tkiyah shofar, so even if he's the best baal tekeh in the city, you're not allowed to let him be the baal tekeh. Because whoever's not mechuyev in tkiyah can't be mechuyev to rabbi yechavot. So tomorrow, as a shayla, everybody's obligated to bench in our Torah, or the man, what about if a woman is benching along? Is the woman obligated to bench in our Torah? Now, can she be the one who's going to bench with him? What's the shayla? What's the shayla? So the Gemara never explains what the Nekudas HaSofet is. Birchas HaMazon is not a mitzvah sefer shazman grama. The Mehechah says, why in the world should I think that women are not mechuyev in atar? It says they have to bench. The Chalta B'Savat HaVirachta, so you should apply equally to men and to women. The Rashi intends to have different shows. The place is there, Dina Maskal Nashim, quote, Pirush HaKuntris. Rashi explains what the Sofet is, called the Gaita, the locker for the Sofet, and to black down by the Leib Shikra. It's in the Bible Leib Shikra anymore, but the women are obligated to bench in atar. Are only with the Rabbanu. What's the Nekudas HaSofik? So Rashi says, because part of the Birchas HaMazon is you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Chalpus Vat and Rachta Alor, Tatev Hashem Asan Lach, you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving you Eretz Yisrael. When you divided the land, they only gave it to the men, they didn't give it to the women. The Nashon Lanot will tell it to Arif. So that's why there's a Mokam with his Safik, that maybe since the women don't have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Eretz Yisrael because they never got it, then maybe therefore they're not Mokhiz in the whole Birchas HaMazon. I've been Eretz Yisrael because God tell it to Arif. In other words, whenever there's no son, then the daughters do get, and whenever there's no male descendants, then the female gets. So it says, then, yeah, that's the father's status, but we can read in the women are not supposed to be. So you should find that difficult happening at these. But that's the suffix in the Gemara, because we're not with Chelik Baruch, so it should be the same suffix as Kohanim and Levim. Kohanim and Levim also learned not with Chelik Baruch. Not only got the men first, only Halavim, but they didn't really get a Chelik Baruch, so you should also clear whether they're Mechuyiv or not. The person doesn't like Rashi's Pshat. The person says that that's not called by not with Chelik Baruch. Since the Kohanim and Levim got something, and the Noshim also got, they got to be strict to area, but they also got, so that's called not L'Chelet Ba'aret, and that's not the Nekudas HaSofik. Ela Yesh Leimah, but what's the Nekudas HaSofik? Why did Gemara hold it? It's a sacred agreement, it's an invite like Shita. Time and Mishum, because Gemara learns down on Daphne and Tessa, when you bench Birchas HaMazon, you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Torah, you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Yitzchus HaSatam, for Yitzchus HaSatam, for Yitzchus HaSatam, for and the women are not obligated to fulfill the bris milah on their children, and themselves with nothing to fulfill. But even if they have a son, only the father is obligated, the mother is not obligated to arrange for bris milah, and the women are also not obligated in Talmud Torah. So one might raise the possibility to say that since the women are not mechuyev in that, then maybe they're not mechuyev in the whole birchas hamazon. So that was the Gemara's Ibaya Galeipshi. So Rabbi Kedega points out on that place, in the Shulchan Aruch, it says that the practice today is that the women do say the whole birchas hamazon. So Abitzchus Shechatam to the Sereno, Alteros Vashur Maraton, they say everything. How does Abitzchus Shechatam to the Sereno is very discouraged? So they're saying in the name of Klal Yisrael. Al Tirosh Hashem Manatan, they're saying in the name of Klal Yisrael. Even though Taisi says that they're not obligated to say that line they can leave out. Al Tirosh Hashem Manatan, they're not going to use. But if they say it, you assume that it's not a Dervish Kori because they're saying in the name of Klal Yisrael. So Rabbi Kivega says that that's the practice that we have today. Yeah? In Chalik Boris, Chalik Boris, a problem on Gerim also, right? The way Rashi learns. What? No. The Gemara has a question whether a woman is kshera to be a mayo. That's a different machlokes amaron. So the Gemara says, don't you see from the parsha that Tzipora did the grit on her son? So the Gemara says, no. The other Randama will interpret that she didn't do the grit. Katicha doesn't really mean Katicha. She got somebody else. She arranged for a Yisrael to do the grit. Gemara has a machlokes amaron. But the Gemara says, no, but it's not. That's Chavzayin. That a nochri is possible to be a mayo. If you have a nachri, the moil, that's no good. What about an isha? The Gemara has a machlokes amaron. Why is the nachri possible in milas? According to the pasuk of one man nomar, that pasuk applies equally to nashim and to nachim. Whoever is not in the parish of milas cannot be a moil. According to the other man nomar, it is not so. Only a nachri was excluded and women were not excluded. That's a shayla and a shayla. Matter of fact, machlokes in the other day. Whether we pass that women are psula is lomul or women are shayla is lomul. Whatever it is, it says in the Shulchan Aruch that the minig is that the women don't do this nachri. The nusach, the particular nusach of Birchas HaMazon is the favorite showing the Rabbanu, but the fact that you have to mention Briz and Torah and Eretz Yisrael, this is their item. No, this the Gemara seems to learn out from Sukkim that it is their item. So that's why the Gemara had a suffix that the Gemara says later on Mem Tes that if you leave out Briz or Torah, then you're not getting to the bench. If you leave out Eretz, you left out a whole bro. No, you don't go. I'll always call a Muslim. But even if you leave out Briz or you leave out Torah, the Gemara says on Mem Tes that you're not getting. You see that seems to be a Taisus system that is in their Isha. Mr. Gura calls these Taisus. See, some Taisus that risk, some Taisus is in their Isha. So the women, when they bench, as Man said, the women have the practice that they do say. And Shechon Acha says that it's not a problem of Dervish Torah because they're saying Al Shein Klal Yisrael. But as Man Gemara, the practice was that the women left out that line. So the Gemara had a suffix. If the woman's going to bench, is she obligated to bench Man Atara? Whatever she says, she's obligated to bench Man Atara. If she just leaves out that line that she's not obligated to say, what do you say? No, since she's not obligated to say that one line, so she's not mechuyev to bench anything at all. But if you see Vega on that cloth on the day, and you see who she's bothered with Akasha, how can a woman possibly bench to be mechuyev to everybody else with the benching? Forget about the problem, she's going to leave out that line. She's going to leave out the line on Bishko Shechasam to Bishayan Abdurash Hashem Maritona. In the days of the Shulchan Aruch, they developed a later meaning that the women say that line also, and they cover up and say, it's not a Dervish Korin, because it's Al Shem Klal Yisrael. They're saying in the name of the Jewish nation, Al Bishko Shechatam to the same. But the Zman Gemara, they didn't have that meaning. The Zman Gemara, they left out that line. If the women leave it out, of course they can't be Moiti the men. So what they're going to say is on this occasion that the woman is going to bench. That line for sure she's not Mechuyizim. That line for sure she's not Mechuyizim. Of course she can't be moited in there. So Rabbi Kivayi says, obviously, the Gemara Sofik is the following. The woman is going to bench Mezulman. Gemara talks, the woman is going to bench Mezulman. And she's going to say the whole benching. And then when she gets to that line, either she'll leave out that line, or she'll say it doesn't matter. But the other people are going to have to say that line on their own. When you're up to that place, they'll say it on their own. And then the woman is benching Mezulman, and will continue to say the rest of the benching. So you see the foolish in the Gemara. That you can be yoytzid, you can be moitzid people with a halva bracha. The woman says the whole bracha, and the man who's being yoytzid says one line in the bracha. So he's yoytzid the beginning of the benching from the woman. According to the Gemara, tzad that women are chayv in benching men atayra. So the Gemara says that the woman can be moitzid the man. The Gemara has a suffix whether it's correct or not, so we don't allow it. We don't allow a woman to be moitzid the man. According to the Gemara, tzad that a woman can be moitzid the man. Technically, how is it going to happen? If the woman is going to say the benching up into the left line, that the men who are listening are going to say, Abishko Shechatam to Vizkaven, Atharos Shechatam Antonu, and then the woman is going to continue from that line on. So you see that you can be mighty, you are able to be mighty somebody with a half a bracha. So what is the reason to interpret in the Gemara that when you want to bench Mizumin, The Gemara discusses how many people can you break the benching up? How many units are there in the benching? The Herod's a full bracha, yes, but for the other person it's not a full bracha. That's the kasha. For the other person it's not a full bracha. That's one of the tirutzim. There's several tirutzim that are given. So Rav Soloveitchik, when he gave many years ago, gave the Yortashir on his Gemara, he thought that the best teretz, all the tirutzim stayin in Achrayim. He thought the best teretz is from the Birchas the Birchas Oshia. There's a paper on brachas and on nozim, but the one who wrote the Kester Roish. There's a Talmud of Rav Chaim Volozhin, Rav Osher Tekfina, who wrote like you have the Maaser Rav has all of the Hanhogas of the Vilna Gaon. So there's such a sefer has a collection of the Hanhogas of Rav Chaim Volozhin. The Vilna Gaon's Hanhogas are more or less pretty straight. It's just everything is a Shulchan Aruch. Just that we usually don't do those things. He just quotes. He was machmas a different sheet. Chaim Volozhin and Hanhogas are ganzen. Don't even say in Shulchan Aruch. It's more a wild thing. You could blacken both sides of the Ritzuas. Doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch at all. You could blacken the bottom of the batten. Doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch at all. He had very, very unusual things. Very different things. This Talmud of Rav Chaim Volozhin, it used to say Shur and Volozhin, and Yeshiva Bechayer Rav Chaim Volozhin. He used to say Shur. But he has a sefer, like this little sefer that's called Ketzer Rosh, the Hanhogas of Rav Chaim Volozhin, because his name is Rav Osher, one of Rosh, Rav Osher Tekfin. He has a sefer, Birchas Rosh, on Nozir, and Birchas Rosh on Brachos. Half of the Birchas Rosh on Nozir is printed in the back of his own Mishat. Half of the sefer is Haggad, so he's printed in the back of his own. The other half is Long Arif, and the Urim, that's the separate sefer. And the Birchas Rosh and Brachas, he quotes this suggestion there of Soloveitchik like. That the Mishnah says on Lamed Dalet of an Aleph, the Mishnah on the top of Lamed Dalet of an Aleph has the following case. What's the din if the Chazan is in the middle of Chazaras HaShas and he just can't continue davening Shmon Esra? Has to stop in the middle, he has a sore throat, he faints, whatever, he collapses. And he can't go weiter. So Yavaraka Tachtav, you have to get another Shliach Tzibur. V'lo Yehi Sargon B'yot Hashor. The Gemara says that usually when the Gabbai is Mechabit Yud to Davin Parnomen, you should try to refuse. The first few times you should refuse. Until he asks you a third time, then you go up. But if it's the Shliach Tzibur was Tor, it's holding in the middle of Chazor HaShah, so then it's not proper to stand on ceremony, so you should go run to the Yomid right away. Nehech and Hum Asil, when you pick up the Chazor HaShah, the first Chazor went halfway through the Shmoneh Esrei and you couldn't finish. So from what point on do you start saying? So it says, Nehechem Humastil Mitchilas HaBrocha Shato Azeh. You have to go back to the beginning of the Brocha that the first Chazan got stuck. If the Chazan got stuck in the middle of Olam HaShinim, even though he's holding by Baruch Atah Hashem, Shoei Vrei Matin HaZeh, you can't pick up from Baruch Atah Hashem. You have to go back to the beginning of the words of Olam HaShinim. Or if he got up in the middle of the Tzemach Avad Avdecho, you have to go to the beginning of the Tzemach Avad Avdecho. What happens if he got stuck in the middle of the Gimel Rishonis and the Gimel Achorinis? And then we say we treat the Gimel Rishonis, the first three brachas till Hakel HaKadosh, and the last three from Ritzei till the end of Amrachat HaNisom, should treat them as one unit. And the new Chazan that takes over has to, if the old Chazan couldn't finish till the end of Hakel HaKadosh, then the new Chazan has to start from the very beginning. Mishnah Berurah says that this Shaila comes up, most often it comes up at Yom Naron, because the Piyutim are so long, especially on Yom Kippur, and the Chazan is fasting. Especially by Musaf or by Mincha, something like that, so the say for Yutim, and it's long, and it's fasting and everything, so it happens sometimes that the Chazan faints and he can't continue. So he said, you have to keep in mind that if the Chazan said all the Piyutim in the world, and he said Kiddush and everything, but he didn't finish till HaMelech HaKadosh, the new Chazan has to go back to the very beginning of the Shmoneh Esrei. He doesn't have to stay over all the Piyutim again, so there's no need to stay over all the Piyutim, but he has to stay over the Kiddusha. He has to say Kiddusha again, because since the beginning, you have to go back to the beginning of the Gimel Rishonim, because I treat them as one unit, you have to repeat the Kiddusha. He just says, even though the lines that we add on to the Shmoneh Esrei, we add on in the middle of the Shmoneh Esrei, we add on to Yukim. We all have Zachoyin Elohim Elohavet Bachan, Yichem Elohim Avraham, Zachoyin Tzul Lachayim Raham. That's only a Piyut. Iker Adin says, we pass in Lalache that if you left out Zachoyin Elohim Amicham Eicho, you don't have to daven over again. It's only instituted by the Goyim. It's not part of the Nusach HaTzibur. Places quote Tamir Shonim to say that if you left out Zachoyin Elohim, that you're not yet, you have to stay over the Shonim. We don't pass on that. We pass on Zachoyin Elohim is only a Piyut. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Haskamah Tachanim that even though that's only a Piyut and Micham Eicho is only a Piyut, and you don't have to say over the piyutim. So he says, these piyutim, that's like, it's considered as if it's part of the Shmoneh Esrei, so this he should say over. Chayin Alachayin should be treated, and the Kedusha he has to be treated. The rest of the Piyutim he can leave out. So the question is, here again you have a case where we require that the person has to be mitzi the rabbin with an entire bracha. I say the first cousin said half of the bracha, or let's say we treat the gimel rishonis or the gimel achronis of the shmanesu as one big unit, and the cousin said everything, he's just holding by the last one, then he fainted. So we say no, the new cousin has to begin from the very beginning of that unit, from the beginning of the gimel rishonis or from the beginning of the gimel achronis. What kind of a din is that? Don't you have a good hypothesis from the Gemara before that you allow Shemir Kain on a part of the bracha and a half a bracha? So the various solutions of Rav Soloveitchik thought that the best parent was this one, that the Birchas Rosh had. That we distinguish between a bracha that a Yochid is saying as opposed to a bracha B'tzibur. Hazarat HaShat is not pshat that the Chazan is saying everybody daven, and then the Chazan is saying a Shemanet for himself, and he's saying Kedush in the middle. No, the pshat for Hazarat HaShat is that the Chazan is reciting one Shmanesh on behalf of the whole Tzibur. The whole Tzibur together is offering one Shmanesh. Like the Shulchan Gibborim at the end of Rosh Hashanah on the side of the Rif, Shulchan Gibborim quotes Rishonim to say Aloshin, that just like in the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohen brings the Korban Tamid and the Korbanot HaMasoch on behalf of the whole Tzibur. So too, the Chazan who recites the Chazarat HaShat from Shul, that's not his davening. The Chazarat HaShat is a Tzilah Tzat Tzibur, a Tzilah that's offered on behalf of the whole Tzibur. In a certain sense, it's even being offered on behalf of the people. The Gemara says even the Amshe Basadus, even the people who don't show up in Shul. But the Iker, it's really being offered on behalf of all of the Tzibur in Shul, and also on a secondary level, also on behalf of the people who don't show up in Shul. But the Iker of the Chazar Tashat is a davening, a Tfilat Tzibur. So there, the Mishnah says that you don't allow Shemer Kain on a Hechadrach. And same is the Rif, same as the Pshat and the Rif. I mean, Rav Menalach regarding benching Birchas HaMazon b'Mezumen. Birchas HaMazon b'Mezumen is not based on Shemir Koinah. No, that's exactly what the Ran at the end of Rosh Hashanah quoted the Yerushalmi. And that's what the B'Rav Rav said, that's the Bavli on Menhema Day, that Shnayim Shachu Ka'achas Mitzvah Lecholot, that they have to bench each one separately, that you don't allow one person to bench and the other person to say Amen. We don't allow, the Rabbanah, we don't allow Shemir Koinah by benching. We darsh in the Pasuk, as an Asmach, we darsh in the Chalta B'Savata, Uvei Rav, Misha Ochal, Huyibar, everybody has to bench because everybody ate on their own. Aye, but when you bench Mezumin, you don't do like that? So what is it? We're violating the Zinder Rabbanah? No, that's the Iker Zinder Raisa. The Iker Takonah the Rabbanah. Whatever you're going to understand, bench Mezumin, according to Rashi, it's clearly a Zinder Raisa. According to others, it may be only a Zinder Rabbanah. The Hainu, when you have three or more people who ate bread together, the whole din changes. It sounds like it's a Zinder Raisa. The whole din changes. The Hainu, instead of each person being obligated to bench Birchas HaMazon, the Halacha says that the whole Chabura together becomes obligated to offer one Birchas HaMazon. So when the one person, when the Mezamen is benching and everybody's saying Amen, they're not being Yoytzeh L'Shemer Koinah. They're not being Yoytzeh L'Shemer Koinah. The voices are being Yoytzeh like in Chazorah Tashat. Chazorah Tashat also, when the Chazan says the Brachas and everybody says Amen, they're not being Yoytzeh based on Shemer Koinah. But what kind of Shemer Koinah? Everyone already said this Tfilah B'Lachash. They've already Yoytzeh this Tfilah B'Lachash, the Shmoneh Esrei. What is the Chazan reciting Chazorah Tashat? Chazorah Tashat is the Tfilah Satzibur. And the halacha that everybody has to say Amen is a separate halacha. It's not the regular din. Normally there's a din. There's one din. Whenever I hear somebody say shahakal, I hear somebody from the other room, I don't know what he's saying shahakal on, what he's saying on milk or on coffee or on ice cream or flesh or chicken. I don't know, flesh, chicken, milk. I hear a bracha shahakal, I'm supposed to say Amen. That's one din. Then there's another din. If someone's saying a bracha, someone says hamotzi lechmin hart, and I want to be yotzei, then there's a stronger din that you have to say Amen. But what happens if you didn't say Amen? Even I want to be yotzei with your kiddush. I want to be yotzei with your hamaytzi. I want to be yotzei with your havdalah. And I didn't say amen. So that's the Gemara Shaila in the Sukkah Daf Lamed Ches. And the Gemara says all the Chachamim came to the conclusion that shameya kiyoyne. If you pay attention, even if you didn't answer, it's considered as if you did answer. But Achreinim Amadayik in the Rambam, that the Rambam seems to hold that klal is not universal. It doesn't always apply. The Rambam in the Begit Paragalach and the Zbroch has quotes these things. If I hear somebody say shahakol, I have a mitzvah to say Amen. If I hear somebody say Hamoitzi, Kiddush Avdol, it's going to be Moitzi me. There's a strong achiyah to say Amen. So it's going to be Moitzi me. But even in this case, when it's a strong achiyah, even if I didn't say Amen, I'm Yotzi Shemeya, Kiyoyne. That's what he writes in the beginning of Hilchos Brachos. Now the Rambam doesn't repeat this in each and every section. Let's say by Tishus and by Tfilin, every single case that the Rambam says that you have to say a bracha, he doesn't say that if somebody said a bracha on my behalf that I have to say Amen, and if I didn't say Amen, then I'm Yotzi. He doesn't repeat it every time. There are only several rare instances where the Rambam repeats that everybody has to say Amen. One of those rare instances is Ben Shemizumen. Another rare instance is by Chazaras Hashem. There are another few rare instances. You have to give a hesban each one. So what's over here? Why are these two seem to be exceptions to the rule that the Rambam seems to be implying? That's how they say that this the Rav is Medayik and others. Other Gedolim on the Medayik. And the Rambam, it sounds as if the Tzibur doesn't answer Rambam by Chazaras Hashem, even if they're paying attention, they're not shmuzim. Everybody's paying attention. But when you bench Mezumim, the two people who are listening to the Mezumim don't answer Rambam. Have to say Amen after Hazanas Hakol, and Amen after Neidelacha, and Amen after Rachem, and Amen after Atayla Meishah. After the Yalamay Hashem, at the end of the fourth parochah, you have to say Amen. The Rambam is mashmim that if they don't say Amen, then they're not yaitzid the Ikka din of Birchat Hamazon b'chabura. Manish Tana, how come by every other bracha, by Kiddush and Abdullah, and other things, if one person says a bracha, I'm yaitzid, even if I didn't say Amen, Shamea Ke'oine, Manish Tana over here. Obviously, this must be. It's a different word of a different halacha. Here, you're not being yotze the shemei akoyne. It's not that the chazar hashat of the chazan relates back to me. It's considered as if I said it. That wouldn't be good. Let's say you have a shul, you have 150 people. They all daven tefillah b'lachash. Now it's time for the chazar hashat. Why should the chazan say he has a broken ibrim? Why should I have this guy say chazar hashat? Have all 150 people say again ashmanesh? No, that's no good. We don't want everybody to say this one. We only want one person to offer a tefillah hatzibur. Originally, everybody davened the tefillah hayochid. They davened bit tzibur. They davened tefillah bit tzibur. Each one davened the tefillah hayochid. Then we want the chazan to recite one tefillah on behalf of the whole tzibur. So that's not that everybody's yotze with shemei koyin is considered that each and every individual person said the shmanesri. No, we wouldn't want that. We don't want everybody to say the shmanesri. Let's say a person gets an aliyah and everybody says amen after the bracha. So it's considered as if everybody says the bracha. No, that's not good. We don't want them. The coin walks up. We recommend that everybody should say, better is that everybody should say, Asher Baruch Hu Kol Amim. No, it would be a bracha of Abdullah. We don't want everybody to say the bracha. By Kiddush and Abdullah, let everybody say their own bracha. So we say, it's nicer if one person says and everybody gets it, but when the one person says and everybody gets it, it's considered that they themselves have said over the Kos Yayin. Let's say, San Shemeya Kyoinez. If everybody said the Kiddush and Abdullah over the Yayin, Asheni came. By Kriyat HaTorah, it's not that it's considered as if everybody in the shul said the bracha before the first aliyah, and the bracha after the first aliyah, and the bracha before the second aliyah. No, when you bench mezumim, when you have Chazaras Hashat, it's not considered as if midin shemei kain, as if everybody said the Chazaras Hashat. That would ruin the whole idea. And the same thing by benching also. We don't allow shemei kain by benching, not by two and not by three. We never allow, unless it's safe for a bur, you have no braver, then you revert back to the din derayt. But there's a takana de rabbanim, there's a din de rabbanim. We normally don't allow shemei kainah by benching. So how come when you bench mezumim you do allow? The answer is that's not based on shemei kainah. It's a different halacha. And the anias omen there is likuva. If the tzibur, if the two people or the more, the whole group of people will not answer amen, we'll say that they weren't yotze the birch hamaz and bahamura. In order to be yotze the bracha bahabura, we require that the whole chabura should have some kind of audience participation. The tzibur has to participate. So their participation that's required is the Aniyah Sameng. The Rav suggested that it's in the Yortzeit, he suggested perhaps a Raya from the Chumash to this. It's a Raya, you can do that. He said a Raya from the Chumash that it says by Hagrizim and Harevo that the Levim, they had six Shvatim and Hagrizim, six Shvatim and Harevo, and then the Levim were down in the middle surrounding the Aron, and then it says Brache, Baruch Ha'ish, Hashem, Lo Yasa Pesam Maseich, and everybody said Amen. Then they said, Oruch Ha'ish, Hashem, Yasa Pesam Maseich, and everybody said Amen. And it says in the Chumash, we all call home, the Yom Ram, and everybody has to say Amen. But here's the funny kasha, why do they have to bother to say Amen? Shamei HaKoine. So let them just say, obviously they're paying attention, so let that be sufficient. It's a riot, and whenever it's a Dovah Shal Tzibah, you have to have the participation of the Tzibah, I dare Aniyah Samen. If they don't say Amen, they wouldn't be able to do this. That HaKoach is that the Tzikin Dingzach with that. That he said, Liyas HaSeis, the HaKoach from the Pasuk. That Haichalach is a little bit, perhaps a little bit humorous. I don't know if he meant it as a real life. Because the Gemara says in the end of Shavuot that by Hagrid Maharevol, when you say Amen, that's a Kabbalah Shavuot, that's a Kabbalah Klala. That's a different, Amen by Klala, Amen by Shavuot, it's a different verse. You don't say Shemei Koina, let's say on a Shavuot. A person says a Shavuot, he's not going to smoke cigarettes, he's not going to drink, and he's not going to run after strange women. Zokta Shavuot. And I want to also take such a shvuah. So if I say Amen, the Amen bo kabbalah shvuah. If I don't say Amen, I'll just have shemei kainah. You're going to say shemei kainah, the shvuah is chal on me? No, shemei kainah only works by brachas. You want to say shemei kainah, by kriyas hamegillah, you don't have to answer Amen. By kriyas hamegillah, other things you say shemei kainah. a kiddush and abdullah, but you don't say shnei kohenim on a shvua. You don't say shnei kohenim on a klola. So by hagrid mehareva, they wanted everybody to be mekabel a klola, to be mekabel omen. It's a different part over there. That's not such a hechech. I don't think the Rav really meant that as a right. But for the Rambam, that's what he said. The Rambam says that everybody has to answer Rambam by the Chazaras Hashem, by the benching Nezumim. They thought that this is a unique, special, unique din of Amin. It's not the regular din that whoever hears a bracha from someone else that he wants to be able to live that bracha has to say Amin. Special din that here the benching is one benching on behalf of the whole Chabura, and it's one Shmonas on behalf of the whole Rabbim. Therefore, you have to have that come in the participation of this people. And that's how he thought. Thank you very much. And that's what he thought was the pshat in this Rith as well. So why does the Tesis quote in the name of the Rith Amen involved that you can't be moitzi everybody with a half a bracha? And the Mishnah and Lama Dalit also, you can't be moitzi the people with a half a bracha and a chazor as hashad. And Rabbi Kivega has the Gemara before, and that thought that he can't. So the answer is that the Mishnah and Lama Dalit and the Rith and Amen involved are talking about chazor as hashad. But he's talking about Benjamin Mezumim. That's the din. It's not based on Shanei Akainim. Shemek Kainan is okay. You can have one person say you have a bracha, the other person say the other half a bracha. But if the bracha shall tibur, that the tibur has to offer together such a bracha, then you wouldn't allow Shemek Kainan. They used to say years ago, the name of the Satan Rebbe, he used to make fun of the fact that years ago when they had a wedding, so they had one rabbi who was in Sadiq position, said all the brachas from the beginning to the end. And now you have so many rabbis, so many rabbanim come to weddings, you have to be mechabed this one to say this bracha, this one to say this bracha, you have to break up all the brachas. It's a kibbutz that Nachkuman Atzai, the time will come that they'll have so many rabbanim and have to break up the brachas of a mechabit, one person to say boo and another person to say rich. break up the syllables, mechabit him. So that's how I think, what's the din? What's the din if one person says baruch and another person says ato and another person says Hashem? And everybody's yaitzah with Shemei Kainah. Everybody's yaitzah with Shemei Kainah. And if all 10 people by the chasen have decided, they all want to say all the brachas nisuin, they don't want to be yaitzah. By Kiddush, if everybody, all the members of the household want to say their own Kiddush, they're good. So they say their own Kiddush and they won't have a rov on have a smoke. But by a chasen, let's say you have 10 people in Yishkava Chutzah, and all 10 people want to say the brachas nisuin. So it would be a brachal matola. The takanas nachon was that one person should say, on behalf of the whole tzibur, v'chayah. No, it's a double pasha like that. So there, l'chayru, the bracha should be l'ikuvah, based on this Ramana was saying. You have to have 9 people answering the brachas l'ikuvah, and you wouldn't be able to say, Shemei Kain on a half a bracha. Whenever it's a bracha that the whole tzibur is offering a bracha, so that's the rif of the Mishnah, and that lamadal, that has to go in the unit of a bracha. And the Bichas Erisin is what to discuss. And Bichas Erisin, that's the machlokes between the Tesis and Tzoch and Davzayim and Aleph, against the Ramam and the Ravid. That the Taisa Sheet is that Bichas Erisin is also like that. Bichas Erisin, you don't say a bracha shekirishonu ben mitzvayis and tzivonu lakara shekirish. You say shekirishonu ben mitzvayis and tzivonu ala arayis, basalonu sarusis. So Taisa says the whole thing is a Bichas HaSheva, and unlike Bichas HaMitzvah, which has to be recited over Lati Yosam, before you give the ring, Taisa says no, that you say the bracha after you gave the ring. It's a Bichas HaSherech, which is always recited lachar Lati Yosam. And the Rambam and the Ravid say not so. The Rambam and the Ravid say no, it's a regular Bichas HaMitzvah that's supposed to be recited over Lachiyas immediately before the Chosin gives the ring. And the Bracha should really be recited by the Chosin. He's the one who's doing the Mitzvah of getting married. Why don't we say the Bracha Shekhar Rishonim the Mitzvah to the Son of Kaddish HaSeisha as Akasha? So the Rishonim discuss it. Why you don't have a normal Bracha? But the Rambam and the Ravid hold that it's a regular Bichas HaMitzvah. And when the Rabbi says the Bracha, he's really being made to the Chosin. Or possibly might see the Kal also with the Amiras HaBrach. The Baja Bichas Erisin, that would already be our Shaila, whether you would allow Shemei Kaine, if one would say Baruch and another one would say Atoh, whether that's a plain Bichas HaMitzvah. The Chosin has to say Bichas HaMitzvah. If one rabbi can say one word, another rabbi can say another word, you say Shemei Kaine and half a bracha, no, according to Tesis, you wouldn't allow it, because that's also a bracha that the whole tzibah together should be cited, that one bracha.
Where does Baruch Hu Baruch Shemot fit in all of these concepts of
right, correct. That's what they quote in the end of the Maaseh Rav. they quote on the last page of the Maaser Rav that even though in the Shulchan Aruch in the Mechaber it says that when the Chazan recites Chazaras Hashatz, everybody has to answer Baruch Hu L'Shem and have to answer Amen. The Vilna Gaon was opposed to it, and he didn't answer Baruch Hu L'Shem. That's a shaila. Why not? They just quote his Hanhavi. He didn't answer Baruch Hu L'Shem. So they give three different reasons why. So the Mishnah Brura quotes that the reason is because the Chazan, the Nigin that the Chazan used to have for the Chazaras Hashatz was such that if the people would say Baruch Hu L'Shem, they would miss Amen. Let's say. Baruch Atah Hashem. So while we're saying Baruch Hu Baruch Shema, the Chazan is going to forvite. He's going to say Chayin Ados. So he's going to finish the bracha while we're busy saying Baruch Hu Baruch Shema. We're going to miss answering him. But let's say if the Chazan has a different nigun, Baruch Atah Hashem, and he pauses, and everybody has an opportunity to say Baruch Shema. Then he says Chayin Ados, and everybody has an opportunity to say Amen. The Mishnah Berurah claims that the Vilna Gaon would not have been bothered. He would have said Baruch Hu Baruch Shema. That's what it says in the Mishnah Berurah. Soloveitchik thought in Gansan a different time that others spoke, but that's not the popular reason. Soloveitchik said that the Vilna Gaon held that you're never supposed to say Baruch Hu Shema. Even if I hear somebody saying Hamoitzi in the other room or Shahakol, and I'm not being Yoytze with his draw, has nothing to do with being Yoytze, has nothing to do with the Nigan that the Chazan said, but he's going to pause, he's not going to pause. The Vilna Gaon held that you never give a Shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you only give a Shevach to the attributes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you can't say Baruch Hu, Baruch Shema, you should only say Baruch Shema. Anaya types. We never give a bracha to Hashem. Proper, we give a bracha to the Shem Hashem. So then they asked the Rav, a lot of kashas, a lot of tefillas, it wouldn't appear so. So he was miyashiva, he thought that it wasn't Shem. And the popular reason that's quoted in the end of the Maaser Rav, the Talmidei HaGro claim, they don't say they heard it from the Vilna Gaon, but they write, they think that the reason why the Vilna Gaon held that you shouldn't say Baruch Hu L'Shem by Chazaras Hashatz is because it's a hepsik. That's what you're saying. Because the Chazaras Hashatz is really supposed to be recited on behalf of the whole Tzibur, if you're going to say Baruch Shema, it'll be a hefsek. And that's it. Based on that, that other Achrayim say similar when the Baal Pekeya says the Bracha, the Shema called Shefer, and it's going to be everybody else with Shemei Koyna, when the Baal Koyre says the Bracha on Mikra Megillah, whenever the Bracha is being recited to be Moitzi others, they're not supposed to be Mopsik in the middle. And he said that Baruch Shema should also constitute a hefsek, that you shouldn't say. And they quote that in the Beis Medrash of the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer writes in Beis Medrash, his father's Beis Medrash, he never made that announcement. In yeshivas, they always make an announcement that everybody should pay attention to the brachas, and you shouldn't talk till after the last tears, and you should say Amen, and you shouldn't say Baruch Hu Shmoy. That's what they announce in the yeshiva. You shouldn't say Baruch Hu Shmoy. So the Chassam Sofer writes in his father's Beis Medrash, they never made that announcement, and most of the people answered Baruch Hu Shmoy, and his father knew that they were entering, and apparently it didn't bother him. He held apparently that it blends in with the bracha, so this can happen. So the Talmidim of the Gro, the closest Talmidim of the Gro, write that the reason why he was opposed to answering Baruch Hu Shmoy was not because the Nigan of the Chazan is going to miss Amiya Salman, and it's not because in general and principle he's opposed to Baruch Hu, but rather because there will be a hefsek in the middle of the bracha. The bracha relates to everybody. Taisus has an interesting comment on Mem Hei on a base. Taisus has a machlokes with Rashi. Diva Maskol Shiny Hafta. What's halacha if one person is saying Kiddush and everybody else is being Yotze? So that's the din of Shemei Koyna. Everybody's Yotze, but the bracha of the one who's reciting. So how do you translate the word Shemei Koyna? The one who listens to the bracha is considered as if he or she himself or herself said the bracha. That's what it means, Shomeya. That doesn't mean Shomeya, the one who's paying attention and understands. Shomeya. Sometimes the word Shmiya means to hear, and sometimes the word Shmiya means to understand. Shomeya. Doesn't mean do you hear, it means do you understand sometimes. So Taisus has a machlokes with Rashi. That's how Taisus doesn't quote Rashi, but the Mordechai quotes like that from Rashi. The Rashi holds Shomeya Koyin applies, even if the other person doesn't understand. And Taisus Shita is that it's not so. Why? So the Pashup Shat in Taisus is that they understand Shemei Koina, they don't really explain why, they just postulate. But that's it. That you don't say Shemei Koina unless the other person understands. The Pashup Shat, they translate it Shemei Koina, but that's not called Shemei. Shemei means that you understand. If the person doesn't understand the language, so hastes nishkein shmiya. That's when we were learning this Taisus, Rasa Rechik thought otherwise. He said, when I don't understand Chinese. When a person is speaking in front of me in Chinese, I don't understand where the chita choytius is. I don't know when one word is finished, when the next word is finished. It sounds like one long hemshech. I don't. So he says, I don't even. Not only I don't understand, I don't even hear the word. He said, I don't even hear the word. So he thought that was what Tyson was driving at. That if you have little children, I have little children. So when they start saying over, a little baby today, one of my children is saying over Aleph Beis. So he knows a little kid knows the whole Aleph Beis by heart. So he said, what letter comes after Samach Nun? Mem Nun Samach Ayin. Yeah, Chayin. He thought that Chayin Samach Ayin. So he thought the next letter is Chayin. Little children that don't understand English, don't understand Hebrew, so they blend all the words in together, blend all the letters, all the words in together. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik thought, that Tesis means to say that it's not Shamea, there's no Shmia portion. The person didn't even hear straight.
He doesn't understand.
Or if the person himself davens, even if he doesn't understand, then we say that he is Yotzei. If he says in the original Hebrew, if he says in translation, then we pass from that one is only, that's that person davens in English. He davens in French. So he's only Yotzei if he himself understands that language. But if he davens in Hebrew, then we pass him that he's Yotzei even if he doesn't understand Hebrew. But if he's Yotzei with someone else's Kiddush, someone else's Havdalah, based on Shemeya Ke'oine, so then in Shulchan Aruch they quote this Tosfos that we're marking that it's not called Shemeya Ke'oine unless you understand that language. So the Mishneh Berurah quotes from the Sefer Birchas Avraham, that was a very early Achman. The Birchas Avraham says, when do you say that there's no Shemeya Ke'oine if you're not Maven? That's only by Kiddush, by Havdalah, where it's based on Shemeya Ke'oine. But if you're benching the Zuman, that's not based on Shemeya Ke'oine. So then you're Yotzei even if you don't understand. If you have two people benching, and you really, mitzvah lecholik, each one should bench for himself. But one is a sefer, one is a boor. One of them just doesn't know the benching by heart. So the Gemara allows the sefer to bench, and the boor is Yotzei with his brachas, and he answers Amen. So then, if the boor doesn't understand Hebrew, then we would say he's not Yotzei. There's no Shemei Kaina if he's Zaina Megan. Just that if he doesn't know the Nusach HaBenshim, but he understands Hebrew. But if he doesn't understand Hebrew, he can't be Yotzei the Shemei Kaina. But if it's not two people benching, but it's three or more, and they're benching Mizumin, that even though the others don't understand Hebrew, the Halacha says that the Yotzei, Hafal Pi Sheinu Megan, how could it be? So the answer is, Hein Heinan Ram Shamarnu. Then when you Yotzei, when a group of people bench Mizumin, and they're all Yotzei with the benching that the Mizumin says, they're not Yotzei based on Shemei Kaina. The Yotzei based on a different principle, that the whole Tzibah together, the whole Chabur together, is offering one Birchas HaMazon B'Chabur. And that's what the Gemara raised the issue in the very beginning, that's how Rashi learns. Menohan Imili, how do you know that the Bracha, that the Shevach changes when you have three people? Maybe you should have to have that to ten. How many people do you have that it should be called a Rabbi? So this the Gemara learns that from the Pesukim, that three people is enough to be called a Rabbi. To label it as a Birchas HaMazon B'Rabbi, not Birchas HaMazon B'Chaburim. Less than three was the machloikas. You say that it's a reshus achiyuv to bench mezumah, and it's certainly not less than three. The shadows, is it even a reshus? So the Gemara came to the conclusion that it's not even a reshus. That we insist on this dil derabon and the mishachal who yivore. Even if you have two people, we don't allow even as a reshus that the two people should bench mezumah together. You insist that can happen to you. It's interesting on the top of men hey on the day. The Gemara wants to be poshut on the second line. The Gemara wants to be poshut toshma. This machlekes hamaroyim, where the two people can bench mezumin or not, is it optional or not? The Gemara says toshma. We have a brisa. Nashim mizamnas liyatsma, avodim mizamnim liyatsma. Women, three women can bench together mezumin, and three avodim can bench together. Nashim avodim together, ktanim, a combination of women or ktanim all together. In lots of mizamnim, same mizamnim. We don't allow. Break the Gemara. How can three women together bench mezumin, v'hamei or nashi, kitrei gadrei damyon, even if you have 100 women. It's only the equivalent of two men, v'ktani nashi mezamna fi yatsman. So isn't that a raya that shnayim shirotu mezamna mezamna? How does the Gemara know that's, what are the words mean? V'hamei or nashi, kitrei gadrei damyon. Even if you have 100 women, that's only the equivalent of two men. How'd they get that equation? So if you have 200 women, it's the equivalent of four men. How'd that equation? The Taisa says what it means is, the top Taisa. So Hamei Anashi Kitrei Gavri Dami doesn't mean that 100 women equals two men. It means Linyan Kibbutz Tfilo. Linyan Dovish Bikdush, Dovish Abato. Whenever you want to have a Kaddish Kedusha Bokho, whenever you want to have a minion, so women are not Mitzurah to a minion. So what does that show? That as many women as you have, they don't constitute a shame rabbin. They're not called a tzibur. They're not called a tzibur. You're telling me, the Gemara says, you're telling me that Shlosh Shachal Kachas is a special din of Birchas Hamazon B'tzibu. You can't really call it Tzibu, it's not 10 people. So we'll call it Birchas Hamazon B'chabura, Birchas Hamazon B'rabi. You're telling me it's a special din of Birchas Hamazon B'chabura, Birchas Hamazon B'rabi, you need three. So the Shad is, what if you only have two? So you can't really call them Rabbim, but it's still, it's more than one, so maybe it should be optional. Maybe not, even though they don't have a real din Rabbim, maybe it should be Rishus. Or maybe not, or maybe the only time you bench Mezumen at all is when you have a Shem Rabbim, the full Shem Rabbim, the Hainu 3. Less than 3 is not called a Rabbim. That's in Kol HaTorah Kulam. You have dinim like that. Moshe, there's a din of Safik Tumer B'Rishus HaYachid is Lechumer, and Safik Tumer B'Rishus HaRabbim is Lechumer. So what's the definition of B'Rishus HaRabbim? So the Gemara says in Noah, at the beginning of Parash Shemini Zim, that you have three people together. You have three people standing together in a room, and then there's a suffix about an Indian of Tumah. But then Allah says that you find the suffix Tumah B'Shul Sarab. Or the Marshal Bezadin, we were just learning in Sanhedrin, there's a chilek between Mesis and Mediach. The din is, the Gemara says that a Mesis says Hayachid, a Mediach has Harabim. And the din are slightly different. So the Mishnah raises the issue, how many people does he have to be Mesis that we give him a different din, that he has a din of Mediach? And then he says three. That if you're based on a Gemara in Gittin, that if you have three people, then it's called Rabbi. What's the Gemara in Gittin? So no Hadin. There's a din, Neder al Das Rabbi. The Gemara makes a difference. If I took a Neder on my own, then it has HaTorah. But if it's a Neder al Das Rabbi, the Ein la HaTorah, the Ein la HaForah. So what's called al Das Rabbi? So the Gemara has a Machloikis. So what opinion the Gemara says Rabbi is three. The other one, the Gemara says that it's ten is for a different reason. But basically, the definition of Rabbi, the Shia of Rabbi, should really be three. The Shia of Rabbi, Kol HaTorah Kula is three. Al Mashal, there's a din when you make a kinyan. When you make a kinyan with a yochid, so it says in a halacha, you have to make a mighty kinyan. If I just say that this cup should belong to you, my jacket should belong to you, the watch should belong to you, my house should belong to you, so the Rambam writes in Perek Aleph, Halach Aleph, and Uchis Mechire, Ein HaMekach Nikmin Bidvorim. So the Mordechai says in Bal Mitzi, and this is quoted in the Chosh Mishpat, Amed Vam Amurim, Chisim Termin Kalam Yisech, a kinyan to a yochid, a kinyan to two people, but if it's a kinyan to a rabbin, either the Makne is a Rabbim or the Kaidim is a Rabbim, either one or the other. So the Mordechai says the Kinyan is Nikne B'Dvarim alone. And then he says, well, what's the definition of Rabbim? That's the three people. So if you have a group of three who are giving, or a group of three who are buying, so the Mordechai's opinion is quoted by the Mechabram, by the Rebbe Kiveger in Chosh Mishpat, in different places, that three people, whenever they're buying or selling, don't have to make any Maisi Kinyan. Just Das alone accomplishes the Chaloi Sakin. So here also the Gemara says that if you have three people, it's called a Rabbim. Less than three is not called a Rabbim. So the Gemara wants to know, alright, it's not called a Rabbim, not called a Chabur, that there should be a Chiyuv to bench Mezumah, but maybe it should be optional. So the Gemara says, well, Toshma, Machlokes, Machlokes, whether it's a Rishus or not. So the Gemara says, well, Toshma, I'm going to prove that it's a Rishus. Why? Noshim is Amnos, Liatzman. We know that women never have a Shem Rabbim. Whenever you need a Shem Rabbim for Kibbutz Tfila, women don't count, and there's even one opinion in the Rishonim in the first Daf Nidah that by Rishus HaRabim, Safik Tumah B'Rishus HaRabim, if you have three women together, it's not called for Safik Tumah B'Rishus HaRabim. It's only called three people, only counts as Tura Rabim, if it's three men, three women, they're Rashbon, they're Rishbon, the first Daf called such an opinion. Most of the Rishonim hold that it's not correct. They have a rise in the Gemara, but some of the Ashkel hold like that. They stand in the Gemara. The three women do not constitute a Rishus HaRabim. And still, the din is that Noshim is Amnos Liatzman, so how can it be there's no Shem Rabim? So you see that if there's a group of three people, if there's a group, so you can bench Mezumin, even though they don't constitute a Shem Rabim. So the Gemara thought, who are Dinami by two? Even though two doesn't have a Shem Rabim in Kol HaTorah Kula, you have to have a minimum of three, but still it should be a Rishus to bench Mezumin. So the Gemara says, no, that the only time it's a Rishus is by three women. If you have two, then not. If you have three, it looks like a rabbi, even though it really isn't, so they can mention it. So that's why Rashi and Taisus learn Shat in the Gemara, that Rashi and Zamnus Leatzman is only Rishus. It's not a Chayzom. The Vilna Glenn Paschim is a Shulchan Aruch, that it's a Chayzom. That if you have three women who ate bread together, they're obligated to bench the Zimun. But Rashi and Taisus say it doesn't fit into the Gemara. The Vilna Glenn has a rush like that. The rush over here is that. But Rashi and Taisus say that the Paschim Shat in the Gemara is Ruchach Natsu. So the Gemara says Toshma. The Gemara wants to prove this point where the two people are permitted to bench Mezumin together. Why? Because two do not have a Shem Rabbim. Even though they don't have a Shem Rabbim, but still have such people in the crowd, so maybe we should allow them to bench Mezumin together. That one should bench on the other. Gemara says, Toshma. Well, women bench. What do you mean women bench? It means that women are permitted to bench. Optional. So you see that there's such a thing as an optional benching, even though they don't constitute a full Shem Rabbim. So two people, even though they also don't constitute a full Shem Rabbim, should also be optional that they should bench. More time is no. It's still not a Hechoche. There's no right from three women to two men. But you see from the whole gist of the Gemara, that's what Rashi says. You see from the gist of the Gemara, that Nashim is on the Kliyatman, was only a reshus. That's why Taisha says that the minig was, in Shulchan Aruch also before, the minig always was for so many years that the women wouldn't bench mezumin. The Taisha says, how can it be? It's like against the Gemara. The Gemara says, the women do bench mezumin. The Taisha says, no. The Gemara says, women are permitted to bench mezumin, but they're not mechuyev to bench mezumin. How did the Gemara in Erechin? In the beginning of the Erechin, that Gimel, where it says, Taisha's called Shiny Hassan. The Gemara in Erechin that says Hakol Chayyavim Bezimun Asuyim Noshim, that women are obligated to bench mezumin. They Mechuyavim Hakol Chayyavim. The thesis over there ends is that's in a different case. This is a kamasha. Let's say men and women are sitting together, a big dinner, and you have three men. Shloshes Shachot, three men are eating together, and there's a chiyuv to bench mezumin. In such a case, the women are obligated to answer mezumin. The women don't know that then. The women are obligated to answer mezumin because there are three men and there's a chiyuv to bench mezumin. But if you only have, if you don't have three men, you only have three women, then Tosis claims that it's only reshus, and the women have the meaning that they didn't bench. They quote that. One of the Bali Atesis had a lot of daughters. Chen also denies Rabbeinu Avraham, Chomik Shal Rabbeinu Yehuda, Api Avim, that he had a lot of daughters, so they used to bench mezumah. But most of the meaning by most of the people was that they didn't bench mezumah. Let's say if you have three women and they're benching mezumah, so then the person, the contemporary person, said that then the men are obligated to answer also. But so there are three women and they choose that they want to bench mezumah. They follow the villains on and the queen to bench mezumah, whatever. Even though men and women together don't constitute mezumah, the Gemara says that it's not proper, it's not derech eretz. But still, if you have three women who are benching mezumah already, then the men who are there have to answer mezumah. Just like if you have three men who are mechuyev to bench mezumah, and then the men, then the women are mechuyev to answer also.
If you have three men, they should bench.
Okay. So let's say you have two men and three women or more, so the women are, and if the women are going to bench mezumah, so then the men are mechuyev to answer them mezumah. Just like if you have three men who are benching, the women are mechuyev to answer. So if you have three women who choose to bench mezumah, then the men are mechuyev to answer. The Gemara says, I'll close with this. The Gemara says in Chulin, Ein Mezamni Malapeiro. What happens if the people didn't eat bread? Three people ate grapes, or three people ate apples, and they want to bench mezumin, so the Gemara says you can't bench mezumin. So what does that mean? Ein Mezamni Malapeiro. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, not only does it mean that you don't have one person say, Rabbi Shai Zalman Bench, and you say, Baruch Shacham Shlob Tzibuchayin, and then you say, Borin Foshnus, and you say, Aloit Salpihoit. More than that, the Iker Din of Zimun is not so much the Brach Shacham Shalom. The Iker Din of Zimun is that one person says the Brach on behalf of the whole group. And when it comes to anything other than bread, we require that every person should say the Brach Afreinu himself. Let's say there's a big Kiddush in Shul, and everybody has cake. And everybody has to say Ala Michya. So the Din is Eim Mizamnim Ala Peris. And Peris is not only Peris, it means anything other than bread. Anything other than bread, so there's no din of bench mezumah. There's no din of bench mezumah. Each person has to say Ala Michya on his own. Or everybody had wine, everybody had fruits, whatever. Each person has to say the Brach Afreinu on his own. The Taz just points out in Orach Chaim, in Hilchos Brachos, that what happens if the other people don't have a sitter, and they don't know how to say Ala Michya, and if you won't say Ala Michya out loud, you won't make an announcement, everybody should pay attention, they won't listen, then they just won't say it. They'll walk home without saying Ala Michya. But then the Taz says that has the same status as Sefer Abur. As the Gemara says, that if you have two people who ate bread, so you don't allow, Midirabbanon goes on, you don't allow Shemei Kohenim, Midirabbanon, but the other one doesn't know how to bench. So you don't insist that he should Zavnach word for word. Hazan, Esau, you don't insist like that. Then the Halacha says he revert back to the din there, right? So that you do allow Shemei Kohenim. That's what the Taz says, that if you think in Shul, that if he won't say Ala Michya out loud, a lot of people will just walk home and they just won't say the Brach HaFreinu. So then you should announce, everybody should be yaitzeh with my Brach, and you say the Brach out loud. But those people who do know how to say Ala Michya should say on their own. They shouldn't be lying on the rabbi or whoever it is, on the chazan, saying Ala Michya out loud. That's included in the din of Ein Mezamnim Ala Peiros.
What about Borin Foshos?
Same thing. The only time we allow same thing, that's what it means. Then Zamal Peres means the only time you allow one person to be made to the others with the Brach HaFreinu is by bread, and you have the special din of Birchas HaZimun, Birchas HaMazon, B'chabura. But anything other than that, whether it's going to be a Bar Nefashis, or Ala Michya, or Ala Eish, whatever the Brach HaFreinu is going to be, we insist that each person should say the Brach on his own. But that whole din is only with the Rabbanon. That's how the Gemara says. That whole din is only with the Rabbanon, that you don't allow Shemei Kohen. And whenever it's an instance of Seif or Bur, and everything people are going to walk away without saying a Brach HaFreinu, then you announce that they should all pay attention. And those that know how to stay on their own should bite to stay on their own. They shouldn't rely on us. Okay, that's the Yisrael Adin of Ben Shemini.
Excuse me, one question. We would like to say two potential tehillim for Achim of Eretz Israel. The lady said the film downstairs will be Israel now. There'll be refreshments for approximately 20 minutes. And after 20 minutes, we'll have another share. The men and ladies up here. Rabbi Pearl.
Shula Malo, Sisko, and I El Hilri, may I in your voice read?
Moshe Rabbeinu noticed the snare, the burning bush, and he walked over and he approached it, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu called out to him, Moshe, Moshe, called his name twice. The Zohar comments that we find HaKadosh Baruch Hu calling out to Avraham, Avraham, and we find HaKadosh Baruch Hu calling Yaakov, Yaakov, but by Avraham and by Yaakov there's a psik. It's not a psik, there's nothing printed in the Sefer Torah, but in the Chumash there's a line printed in between the name Avraham and Avraham, and in between the name Yaakov Yaakov. And by Moshe Moshe, there is no psik begabe. There is no hafsoke. It would appear that the psik, I think what it means is, that the psik is like part of the truck. It teaches you the way you're supposed to lane the pasuk. So psik means that you're supposed to pause in between the two names. When you're saying Avraham, Avraham, you're supposed to have a slight pause. When you're saying Yaakov, Yaakov, you're supposed to pause. By Moshe Moshe, you're not supposed to pause. I remember sometimes in the yeshiva in a tiny sibur when the Balkari would lane the Yud Gimel Midas, Hashem Hashem Kerach Lechanim, he would lane Venakeh Lo Yinakeh. So usually the Balakri go very quickly, they say Venakeh Lo Yinakeh. So the Rav would be very much, but he would make him lane over. So there's a psik in between Venakeh Lo Yinakeh, and the Gemara says that it's a pause there, Venakeh, Venakeh Hu Lashom, Venakeh Lashem Shom. You have to pause in the Kriya, you don't pause, so you're reading it improperly. So here also, apparently, I think the psik indicates that part of the truck means it's an indication for the Balkari that he's supposed to pause in between Avraham, Avraham, and in between Yaakov, Yaakov. It's in between Moshe and Moshe, there's no need to pause. What is the kavana here behind Moshe and Moshe not having a psik? So Chaim Balozhiner makes a big issue of this in the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim, and he explains as follows. Every individual has a potential that the Rebbeinu Shlomo was kovei on heaven before this individual was born, what his maximum potential is. And then the person in his life has the ability either to live up to that potential or not. So Avraham, the two names, Avraham, Avraham, Yaakov, Yaakov, Moshe, Moshe, the first time the name is mentioned, it's referring to or alluding to the potential, the Avraham, the abstract Avraham that's in heaven. And the second time the name is mentioned, it refers to the actual Avraham Avinu who was on this earth. So that's what the Zohar means to say, that there was quite a distance between the real, between the abstract Avraham, the way he could have developed, and what Avraham really developed into. So that's why you have to have a psik in between Avraham, Avraham, to indicate that he didn't really maximize his potential. And Yaakov, Yaakov as well. But Moshe Rabbeinu maximized all of his potential, so that's why there's no psik begabre. Moshe Lemaila and Moshe Lemata were the same Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu attained the greatness that he was able, that the maximum greatness that it was possible to attain. There is a Gemara in Chulin where the Gemara speaks of the dream that Yaakov Avinu had when he saw Sulam, a ladder, Malachim Olam, Yardim Bo, and the pasuk continues, Yini Hashem Nitzav Olov, and the Rebbeinu Shlom was on top of Olov. What is Olov? So the Medrash has some two interpretations of that word. Olov means on the Sulam, Hashem is on top of the ladder, Hashem is Nitzav Olov on Yaakov Avinu. So the Gemara in Chulin and Perek Yid Anoshe speaks, learns that pshat, Yini Hashem Nitzav Olov on Yaakov to protect Yaakov Avinu. The Malachim went up and they were mistakled with the mus Yaakov Avinu achakuka al kisi akovay. As the pasuk says in the Novi Yecheskel that they were dalet ponim to the kisi akovay. One is Pnei Neshet, Pnei Aryeh, Pnei Kuv, and Pnei Adam. Who's Adam? Who's human face? This is great, man. Kis Yaakov, the Medrash says that it's Yankov Avinu's face. The Malachim went up to heaven, the Oilim, the Yordim, they went up and they looked at the Dmus of Yankov Avinu that's Chakukah and Kis Yaakov. Then they came down and they saw Yankov Avinu was sleeping. So they said, this is the Yankov Avinu. They looked on the Kis Yaakov and they saw that our Chaim Olajim and Tefek Yisrael Shechaim. They saw the Kishroidis and the talents and the ability that this man possibly has. And then they come down and he's sleeping. What kind of a talk is to sleep? He should be doing something with his time. He shouldn't be wasting his time sleeping. So the Gemara says in Perek Gidar Nasha that Malachim wanted to kill him. The Yankov Avinu for not maximizing his potential. So the person continues. You know, Hashem needs to follow. The Baruch Shalom is on top of Yankov Avinu. All of means on Yankov to protect him from the Malachim. But it's really a tvia. Rav Chaim Olajim says that the Malachim wanted to kill him doesn't mean out of jealousy, that they were jealous. Why? He's on the Kis Yaakov, so we better bump him more from the competition. We want to be greater than him. We'll get rid of him so he won't be in the competition. So it wasn't an idea of jealousy. They wanted to punish him. They wanted to kill him out of the punishment that he didn't live up to his potential. And Moshe Rabbeinu, that's what the Zohar says, Moshe Rabbeinu did live up to his potential. The Gemara has an interesting lashon in the first perek in Sanhedrin. The Gemara tells that the Tanoim was sitting on one occasion, they were sitting and discussing something, and a Basco came out from heaven and made a statement that one of the Tanoim who was present was Rosh Tishvel of Shechinah Moshe Rabbeinu. One of them was so great that he really was worthy in having Hashuas Hashchinah like Moshe Rabbeinu, but the Eloshein Dora Roy Lakaf, the generation wasn't really worthy of it, so that's how the individual was cheated and he wasn't given this degree of Hashuas Hashchinah. On the side of the Gemara they have printed in a tiny letter that there were those who claimed that you should cross out the two words that Rosh Tishal Shechinah K'moshe Rabbeinu. You have to cross out the two words K'moshe Rabbeinu and it writes Mehatam Hayadua because of the famous reason. What's exactly the famous reason? Because in the Siddur we have Yud Gimel Ikari Amunah. So one of the 13 principles of our Amunah is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Nevuah. Another Yisodin Amunah is that Nevuah K'moshe Rabbeinu is on a higher level of Nevuah than anybody else's. Because the Pasuk says at the end of the Torah, Rabbeinu was the greatest Novi. So how can the Gemara write a lashon that there was an individual in the days of the Tanan who was right to have Ashura Sashkin like Moshe Rabbeinu? How can it be? It says in the Torah, Rabbeinu was the greatest Novi. No one's going to be like Moshe Rabbeinu. But then on the side of the Gemara they write that even though there's such a Taina, but you should know that the Rambam and many others have this Gemara in the Gemara because they quote this passage from the Gemara. The Rambam in different places and other Rishonim hold the Perish. But that is the correct Gemara in the Gemara. Possible for an individual to be Roy Shitish al Shin Kamash Rabbeinu. What happened to that? You said in Amunah that Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest Navi. So Rabbi Hana Rasamim, the Hanukkah Bracha, writes in one of his essays that's published in a collection that's called Kodesh Mamorim, that he thinks that it means something else, not what we think it means. He quotes the Radak on Sefer Yehoshua, who comments on the phrase Moshe Abdi Meis, or the Pasuk refers to Moshe as Eved Hashem. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu referred to as Eved Hashem? Most people are not. Most of the Chacham, most of the Tzaddikim are not referred to as Eved Hashem. So the Radak writes that we have a principle in the Talmud that call Moshe Kana Eved Kana Rabbo. Eved Kanani, not an Eved Ibrahim. That whatever the Eved Kanani, any property that the Eved Kanani acquires, ownership of, go directly to his oven. Everything belongs to the owner, to the master. So the Radak says, in that sense, Moshe Rabbeinu is referred to by the Novi as Eved Hashem or Moshe Abdi. Because Moshe Rabbeinu used all of his kishroinis in Avodas Hashem. He didn't use any of his talents for his own purposes, and he didn't waste anything. He called Moshe Kana Eved Kana Rabbe. Every koyach that he had, he gave directly away to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how Rashi and Chumash quotes in the Medrash on the Pasuk. Layer Moshe min ha'har al-ha'om. And right away he did Avodas Hashem. He didn't use his time for any other purpose other than Avodas Hashem. So Rabbi Chana Vazmin writes that he thinks that that's the pshat, that there's an individual who's Rashi Tishal of Shechinik and Moshe Rabbeinu. Doesn't mean that he'll be as great a Novi as Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was given greater talents than other people. Let's say if you have a person who is born a super genius with tremendous kishrei, you have another person who has a shvachikov. So if he will use all of his talents to his maximum, and he will use all of his talents to his maximum, that the other fellow will certainly be greater than this fellow. He was a super genius by doing, and he ought a shvachikov. So that's what the pasuk means. That's the Yisrael Amun of Kam Navi Ovi Yisrael Kamoisha Shigar Hashem Panim Apol Moshe Rabbeinu was given greater kishrenis and greater talents than anybody else. But still it's shayach, still it's possible for a person to be as great as Moshe Rabbeinu in a different sense. The Hainu, that Moshe Rabbeinu not only had tremendous kishrenis, but he used all of his kishrenis, all of the kishrenis to Avodas Hashem. So shayach, if a person is not such a super genius, he should also be like Moshe Rabbeinu in this sense, in this respect, that he uses all of his talents, he uses all of his kishrenes and all of his koiches in avodas Hashem. So that's what the Gemara meant to say. Yesh kan echad sheyoreh shekli shorav shchinah. Moshe Rabbeinu, there is an individual who deserves to have ashuras hashchinah for the same reason that Moshe Rabbeinu had ashuras hashchinah, namely that he used all of his kishrenes in avodas Hashem. There was somebody here among the Tanaim who also was like that. Also, he was an Eved Hashem in the sense of Kol Hashem Kona Eved Kona Rambam, but he wasn't as great. His talents to begin with weren't as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why it's not in violation of the pasuk at the end of the Chumash in the Yisrael in Emunah. Balatanya writes in the end of his sefer, in the end of the Tanya, has a Geres HaTshuva. He writes, I'll pick up all, he talks about the word Tshuva, that the word Tshuva is the Tosh of Hay, it's the Hay of Yisrael Vavke, is returning back to be combined to the Yud Kei and Avot. What it boils down to is, he says there are two types of tshuva. There's one type of tshuva, a person is a balaveir, a person doesn't do mitzvahs, he has to do tshuva to straighten himself out. Then you have another nice person, he doesn't do any aveiras, and he does all the mitzvahs, does everything properly, but he doesn't maximize all of his talents. So that person also has to do tshuva. Tshuva means he has to use all of his kishrenes and all of his kaychais for Avodas Hashem. The chassidim tell over a story about some great chassidish rebbe that he said that when he comes to the Yonam HaEmes, it will not be taveya him why he wasn't as great as the Baal Shem Tov, why he wasn't as great as Avraham Avinu, or why he wasn't as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. It'll just be taveya from him why he wasn't as great as Zisha. He was Zisha. Why didn't he grow up to become Zisha? In other words, like Avraham with a psik de gaved. His abstract talents, he didn't really maximize. He didn't use all of his kishrayim. The Medrash has an expression in different places. A person should always think to himself, how will I be able to be as great as my forefathers? So this Hashem is bothered with that lashon. What do you mean? How can he be as great as his forefathers? What shayach? Avraham Avinu was such a tzaddik. Moshe Rabbeinu was such a tzaddik. How can he have the chutzpah to think he's going to be as great as them? So this Hashem has al derech ha'drush. He has an interpretation. He says, Masa yagiu lingoa means touch. Touch something like this, so that's maga. He says, I won't become as great as them. I should have a shaykhis and a hemshech with my forefathers. But the simple, that's how derech hadrush. But the simple taich of the medrash means, chai bottom line, every person should think to himself, when will I, lahagia means to reach that level. How can a person talk of things such a strange thing? How can he reach? So the answer is, it's not far-fetched. We often misjudge ourselves. We think, my grandfather and my Rebbe were such a pious tzaddik, and he was such a super genius, and he was such a this, and he was such a that. How can I ever be great as my Rebbe, as great as my grandfather, great as this individual, my grandmother, or whatever? That's a mistake. Well, I was born Yesh Mayayim. I'm a descendant of that person. The Rebbe was a superhuman being. The Rebbe was a mouth. The Rebbe is a boss of a dumb. The Rebbe also was born from Klal Yisrael. It's not that he was from some other super race, and he was a human being, and I'm a descendant of my grandparents, and I'm a descendant of Avraham Avinu. So if Avraham Avinu had these talents, I can also have these talents. I just have to work on it. The person shouldn't be misyayish in advance and say, I'll never be able to reach this madrega. It's not so. But the person will try, they will be able to reach this madrega. Even if now the person is in a situation that he really can't reach that madrega, the Bali Musa writes in their Sforim that B'derech HaTeva we know that if a person is in a difficult situation, so I guess whatever the hezber is, his adrenaline works more, or whatever the hezber is, he can do things which normally b'derech hateva he would not be able to do. We read different stories, and we've heard different stories of people who are running away from the Nazis, and they had the courage to run through forests for hours and hours on end, and b'derech hateva they should have collapsed after 2 hours of running so much. Or people who describe people jumping over a big gap, jumping over big ditches, that the Derech HaTeva is not trying to jump so much. But they knew that their lives were the sakana, so under the difficult circumstances, so they used all of their kishreis and all of their koiches, and they strained themselves and they did it. So too, if a person really tries, he can strain himself and he will be given additional koiches, additional abilities and additional kishreis. And if a person, after getting those additional koiches, not only in the physical area, even in the ruchnidik area. Let's say if a person he's not so interested in shmir samitzvahs, whatever. So if a person tries very hard to keep more mitzvahs and to be more observant, to daven slower and to daven better, to be mechavim b'shas tefila, and to spend more time learning, even if he finds it very difficult, then once he tries it, he'll break himself into that habit, and that will already be Haragol Nasa Teva Sheni, the person will get used to that, it'll already be easy, and then he can go from that to be granted additional Kishrenis Ben HaShamayim, and not to be granted additional kishonis in the shrine in such a way that he will be able to reach the madrega of Avraham Avinu. It's not impossible. That a person works hard enough, it is possible. I remember a few years ago, there was a din Torah in the yeshiva. There was a couple who got divorced and they had a daughter, and the woman remarried, and the daughter was completing elementary school and she wanted to go to, she's going to go to high school. So the woman who remarried was more observant than her parents. It looked like it was more prum than her former husband. And her second husband was more observant apparently than the first husband. They wanted to send the daughter to more observant. They were going to send it to a Jewish yeshiva anyway, to a yeshiva, not to a public school. So the husband, the second husband, the stepfather with the mother, wanted to send it to a Zerach from the yeshiva. And the first husband wanted to send it to a shvache, a very shvache place. So they made up that they're going to have it in Torah, the yeshiva, and whatever the Rabbanim Paschim that's going to be. So we listened, and it came out, what was the taina of the first husband? It came out that the first husband didn't have any taina. He just said he doesn't know whether the Frumi Yeshiva, he doesn't want his daughter to be cheated from secular education. But who said that the Frumi Yeshiva has Shvacha secular education? So he couldn't tie anything. He said he visited both yeshivas and he couldn't see that there's any difference in the secular education. But he said he doesn't want his daughter to be neurotic or anything, and if the daughter doesn't want to go to the Frumi Yeshiva, they shouldn't make it crazy and insist that she should go there. So it turned out that it wasn't a deter between the father of the child and the mother of the child, it was a deter between the child and the mother and the stepfather, that the mother and the stepfather wanted to send the girl to the Frumi Yeshiva, and the daughter didn't want her. Anaya deter. So you have a deter, let's say the child doesn't want to, the child wants to go to the public school, and the parents want to send the child to Yeshiva. So that's a deter. So we explained to the girl that it's a shayla and so on and so forth, and then we said that after a deliberation over the weekend, we told the issue of Zach that she has to follow. The father didn't have anything to say. The former husband didn't say, okay. But he passed him that she has to go to the former yeshiva. So it wasn't a Satra yeshiva, it was also a modern yeshiva, just that the other one was very, very, very modern. So the girl was crying, and all of her friends are going to the other, to the more modern place, and crying. Shite. So that's it. So she was crying. So after 2 months, the girl met, she was never suffering there, going to this other place. After 2 months, she met her former friends. There was some kind of a get-together in the community. And she was so taken aback. These are the people that I wanted to go to school with. She couldn't believe it. What was her habamin in the first place that she wanted to go to school with them? She had nothing in common with them already. The girlfriends that she went to elementary school, everybody had a boyfriend already, and everybody was going out on Tzoy Shabbos, on dates, on Sunday. What kind of dates? The first year of high school, they're already going on dates. She's so happy and so appreciative and so thankful to her mother and the stepfather that they didn't send it to that other place. How do I remember that it was 4 years ago because they called me up now? The new dinterich. To college. I don't have dinterich elekshani by going to college. Who's going to have to pay for the college? You should have to go to Stern College, whatever. What percentage the father has to pay, what percentage the stepfather has to pay. So this is often the case by people. People think in advance, we're all like little children, we're all like little babies. We make up our minds in advance. What shaykh I should be as great as this holy tzaddik, this tzaddik, he's good to learn. How do you think he became such a... You can do the same thing. You can sit and learn. You can be honest in business, whatever field the person is in. How can I be as honest as him? Why not? How do you think he became honest in business? How can I daven like him? How do you think he became what is Menashemayim that poured down in his mind that he should be able to daven? He worked on it. You can work on it also. We're all the same boss of a dumb. When we begin, we don't even have a habamina that we can attain that level of greatness. But after we'll attain it, we will be given additional kishrenes min hashamayim, and then after those kishrenes are used up, we'll be granted additional kishrenes min hashamayim. And it is shayach, poshut, but then I have said, but shayach, mosi agiru maisa, and maisa abayim sayidit shayach. You have to keep this in mind in the area of chinuch habanim as well. Many parents exaggerate the capabilities of their children. They push the children too much. They push the children to learn extra Gemara and extra Chumash and extra this and extra that, and the children are not ready for that. They don't really understand it. Or they push the children, they should have music lessons, they should have extra science lessons, they should have extra math and extra everything extra, because they think that because they're such Elohim, they think that they're such Elohim. Maybe they really are such Elohim, the parents, and they think their children must be Givaldig Elohim also. So that's not... If the child is not cut out for that, so it's a big mistake. And many parents make the mistake in the opposite direction. think that the children, so what's going to happen? Everything comes out the same in the end anyway. Even if you don't push the child, you don't give them anything extra at the end of the 4 years of high school, everybody knows the same. At the end of 4 years of college, whether you make them work extra, you don't make them work extra, everything comes out the same. It's not true. It doesn't always come out the same. The parents have to have the ability to judge exactly what madrega their child is holding on and to give chanuch l'nar al pi darko. If it's a child who really has talent, really has kishrus, they have to give the child something extra. And if it's a child who has the capability to have more yirat shamayim and more chulukai, you have to give that to the child. If the parents don't always have the ability to judge on their own, so they should consult the rabbis and the yeshiva. Even if the rabbis are not, they don't have diplomas and advanced degrees in education or anything, or in psychology or anything like that, so a little bit they do know. They're not the rabbis and the yeshiva, the principals or the English speakers there. They're not the smartest people in the world, but they're not the dopiest, they're not the most foolish people in the world either. A little bit of help they can give the parents in determining whether their child needs extra work, extra pushing in order to develop his talents more. Or I don't know, but they shouldn't push the child too much. It's too much for the child. And the parents should try to see to it that they give their child exactly the chinuch that the child will need. Of course, you have to be very careful not to overburden the child. I remember years ago when I first got married, my father-in-law, Zichron Lebracha, used to be a Rebbe in Tel Vadas for many years. There was a boy from the neighborhood where we lived, he used to live in Tel Vadas, and he would come home every week for a Shabbos. And he would always come, my mother-in-law used to make a gefilte fish for the first thing. My father-in-law would bring the gefilte fish to the yeshiva, and he would give it to this bacher who would come on Friday. He would bring it from the yeshiva to our home, he would deliver the gefilte fish, and then he would talk and learn for a few hours on Friday afternoon. And then in the short winter Fridays, he would deliver the fish quickly, and he would call me after Havdalah and Mitzvah Shabbos to talk and learn a few hours. This fellow was so interested in learning, so he went on to learn in Lakewood, and then he was driving, he was pushing himself, he wants to excel, he wants to be the best one in the yeshiva. So when everybody would go to eat breakfast, they would relax, and they would go to eat lunch, they would relax, and stuff would relax. He would never be relaxed. He would always strain himself to learn more and more. He would chop a breakfast would be 10 minutes, and the rest of his money he would be sitting in the manager. And lunch would be the kitchen, supper would be the kitchen, and a lot of times he would skip meals. And he pushed himself so much he had a nervous breakdown. I remember when they had to take him back, they had to go to the hospital. And he couldn't make sure, couldn't dive, didn't know what was going on for a few days. And then when his parents had to take him back, they were unable to take care of him. So for a few months, the mother had to go walk with him in the street. And he wouldn't recognize me. He used to come to my home every week and come to my home. I would say hello. He didn't recognize anybody in the street. The fellow never had to go to Eretz Yisrael to go find himself a shidduch. No, he's happily married, has wonderful children and so on. The parents have to be careful and people have to be careful not to strain themselves too much. But still, not to strain yourself too much is not the same as being lazy. Like the Malachim were angry at Yankov Avinu and they wanted to kill him because he was sleeping. A man with such great talents isn't supposed to sleep so much. He shouldn't be so lazy. He shouldn't be so relaxed. He should strain zechot. The Rebbeinu Shlom doesn't want us to get sick, but we don't have to be so relaxed about it. We don't have to be so comfortable. Comfort is not necessarily one of the mitzvahs in the Torah. The Gemara has a lashon that noyach la'adam shalai nivra mishenivra. What does it mean, noyach la'adam? It doesn't really say the Gemara. One of the Rabbanim pointed out, it doesn't say the Gemara tov v'lo lo adam. It doesn't say that it's better that man weren't created than if he is created. It says noach l'lo, would have been more comfortable if he wouldn't have been nechusu. Noach, in comfort. It would have been more comfortable if Anishamas would have stayed tachas kisi akav, and wouldn't have to come down this world. Come in this world, it's very uncomfortable. So that's what one of the Rabbanim made a comment. Aval anach n'lav b'nei noach. We're not in this world to relax. We're not here to have comfort, to have a good time. You have to shteng zechon, you have to work. So it's not the same thing. A person is going to work himself so hard that he's going to get sick. I don't know, that's ridiculous. That's not the same thing. But a person shouldn't have the feeling that he has to be comfortable, he doesn't want to shteng zechon too hard, and his children should lead a life of comfort, he doesn't want to push them too hard. Why? What's wrong with it? Comfort is not necessarily a necessity. A person should realize that everybody has tremendous kishrenes, and a person should maximize all of his kishrenes, and whoever doesn't use his kishrenes will be nitzvan, the yom adin, it's not just achsida shavar, he will be nitzvan, the yom adin, why he didn't use all of those kishrenes that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave him. We all have to strive to be like Moshe Rabbeinu, that he has no psik begadah, he is Moshe, the same Moshe that was described in the books, in the heavenly books. The kishrenes and the talents that he had, theoretically, the ability to develop, that's exactly what he turned out to be. He used all of his kishrenes. He was the Eved Hashem. We are all called upon to become Abdi Hashem in the sense of Kol Masha Kona Eved Kona Rabbo, to try to develop all of our talents, all of our hidden talents that we all have, and all of the talents of our children that they all have, in the sense, in the area of Avodas Hashem, I wish everybody a good Rosh Hashanah, a good Rosh Hashanah.
Just again, I'd like to thank Rabbi Flam for the shiur that he gave to the ladies, who I heard it was wonderful. And please remember Washington's birthday. There'll be a shiur in Shoe Garden Hill.